This show is brought to you by Headspace. Download the free Headspace app now and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/Joey. That's right. Download the free Headspace app right now and begin their Take 10 program at headspace.com/Joey. The show is also brought to you by Datsusara. Go to dsgear.com and check out their extremely high-quality functional gear made with hemp textiles. They have bags, gis, rash guards, and more. When you go to dsgear.com, you're going to use code word Joey to get 5% off of your order. And go to onnit.com and use code word church to save 10% on all of their amazing optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, and Shroom Tech Sport.
Why not? Why the fuck not? And Lee got the old fucking version off of Stranglehold, the studio album, which is still badass. Listen to this fucking thing. Are you fucking kidding me? Back in the day before he lost his mind, you better show up early in the morning at Ted's house, cocksuckers.
Damn, this is good.
Is this even Ted Nugent?
It says it is.
Because it don't even sound like that Derek St. John. But who gives a fuck, bitches? It's Wednesday, June 15th. The church of what's happening now, motherfuckers. That's all that matters. Strap a fucking pair on, because we're going deep, bitches. Darren Carter's here. Lee Syatt's here. My favorite fucking Jewish person in the goddamn world.
That's a big honor.
And that's a fucking tremendous honor. You understand? There's a lot of good...
Yeah, there's a lot of great Jews.
Great fucking Jews out there inventing light bulbs and shit. Representing fucking criminals. Good fucking Jews. I love them. What's up, DC?
What's up, man? I just had this visual. What if he, because, you know, he's a lot younger than we are. Like, you're like, he just pulls up anything. He gets, like, the kids bop version of something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're like, what is this? That's not AC/DC. It's like, that's children.
It's funny. You were talking about something real interesting. Listen, there's two lives you can have as a comic. There's the Darren Carter, Joe Rogan life, or there's the Bobby Mendez life. Bobby Mendez was the character I played on Married. Mm. Bobby Mendez is the typical comic that comes out here. Gets a deal, he drinks, he smokes, he snorts coke, he blows off gigs, that's who I was becoming. And you get a chance here, you blow it, and then you just live on the road, and you're divorced, you have nothing at home, and you basically go from town to town, you know, doing drugs and getting chlamydia and just getting sick, getting fatter. And
is it fun at all?
I can't see it being fun if you go down that street.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comics that have come out here, gave it their Oklahoma best. You know, it didn't work out for them for something. They go back and they start the family and they do all that stuff. A lot of guys come here and they get jilted. And that leads to, you know, alcohol or whatever the fuck it is. Their relationships blow because they're not making the money. You're angry. And then you go on the road and you just live on the fucking road. And you have a car and you put oil in it and you disappear. You have bad credit, and you die on the fucking road, and these jerk-offs say you're a great comic, whatever the bullshit they say. That's not the route I wanted to go. It's really hard that you learn, as a man, how high you have to put into a family. Like, when I was first married, my effort into my family was 50%. It was minimal. Mm-hmm. Now I blow shit off to be with them.
Yeah,
I look at my schedule and I go, you know what? That's not necessary. That's not necessary. That's not necessary. That's not necessary. That's necessary. That's writing. I'm meeting that guy to make money. This is the things. And that's what happens when you have children. You know, that DVR box you have and you tape all those movies, you get home that night. You don't do that no more because that becomes a minute part of your life. You know, when you're focused on life, everything else, it's very hard in today's society to have focus.
Yeah.
Because you have the computer, you have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have your phone right fucking there. You have the TV, you have, you know. So no more magazines. Everything is in your fucking phone.
Not even in the car anymore. And I listen to podcasts. If I'm in the car, I'm listening to a podcast.
Absolutely.
But to be honest, there's all these cars have Wi-Fi now, cars have all these apps. When I was, like, I remember being a kid in the car and
you were bored to death. You hope they crashed the fucking car. At you were lowest, like, please crash the car.
My favorite, my mom had a station wagon. It had that back seat. We've talked about it before. That was better than a movie for kids. Like,
yeah.
I used to be so jealous when I was a teenager. Because when I was a teenager, those screens in the back seats started coming out. And I was like, mother, that would have been great as a kid. But I don't know.
Dude, I remember being in the back seat, right? You try to get the truckers to like honk their horn, or me and my friends would like be back there pretending that we're smoking cigarettes, like, and then like the other drivers would be like, "Those kids are putting something in there," you know, and it's just like paper, and you know, like I can't remember the last time I was bored, you know, because there's so much as an adult, there's so much to do, and then with all the technology and stuff, there's no downtime of like. You know, when you're a kid, you literally would like see how far you could kick a can, you know, on the way home from school or something.
And I mean, kind of going back, obviously not the like the Bobby Mendez type, but you spent a lot of time, but you both have spent a lot of time on the road. Now, like then you had to drive from gig to gig and you'd be talking with people. Now you're flying, you're getting picked up and you go to the hotel. It must be a very different experience. It must affect the way you do comedy.
It definitely does. Listen, in 1999, I thought I was going to be Bobby Mendez.
Absolutely.
I should have been headlining, but I was still featuring. Headliners were telling me to knock it off. Mm-hmm. You got to slow down. You can't talk to the audience. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And I got off the road, and miraculously, I met my wife. And the odds changed. I had to pay rent. I had to do all this shit now, and I had to pay it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? These are things you got to do. You know, and now I went out, and I had to come home with an amount. You follow me?
Yeah.
You go out, you got to come home with an amount. It's not like
in
the old days, Leo. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I would get $700 for 9 shows at the Improv, Tuesday through Sunday. I would take a $100 draw every fucking night. A gram of blow and a bag of weed.
So there's no money left.
There's no money left. I was basically doing a gig for $200. And I would cut corners at every level. I would eat at the club. I'd take food home at night from the club. I'd steal beers from the club. Everything I did was around the fucking club in those days. And they didn't give a fuck.
I can't imagine making $700 a week and spending 5 of it on coke.
5 of it on going out. You're in a city.
Anything.
Okay, you land in a fucking city. You land in Milwaukee for the first time.
Right.
To some people, Milwaukee doesn't seem like a big thing. To me at that time, I thought I was in fucking Hollywood, okay?
It's true.
I don't care what state I was in. I was in fucking Hollywood.
You're on the road,
It's very hard to describe.
Yeah, you're like, I'm being paid to be a comic. I'm on the road, I'm on tour. You know, it's a little delusional. You know,
if you're on the road, you know, Darren and I don't do it. It's not our lifestyle. But Bert Kreischer, for example, Bert Kreischer should be going into every city and selling out from Wednesday to Sunday. Because if I had that type of alcoholic stamina, that I could go out 6 nights a week straight and drink with people after the first thing I do is land in town is go get a fucking $50 steak. That's where the word spreads. Mm-hmm. That's the gossip column. Okay? That's the gossip column.
Do you like cause a scene at the restaurant?
No. You act like a gentleman. You don't just fucking cause a scene.
Not a cause a scene, but.
No. Assholes cause a scene.
What's that, Milwaukee?
Yeah. You know, some guy comes in and he has a fur. No, go in the back, sit. If the tip is 20, give him 40. Because that 40 is your fucking. Listen, you could give him 40 or you could give a PR director $3,000 a month. And guess whose word's going to spread quicker when you give a waiter a 40?
The waiters.
Yeah. He's going to tell everybody in that bar that Lee Syatt came in for dinner.
This guy's a cool comedian. Check him out.
The guy from The Longest Yard. The guy from the church of what's happening now. You gave him 40 fucking bucks. That 40 bucks is fucking gold because he's telling everybody, you came in tonight, you're a funny guy, blah, blah, blah. And now people are going to go, he took care of my friend. I'm going to go down there and pay the 20 and watch him. You're going to get 8 or 9 tickets sold just by fucking him. You going in there and dropping the 40. Going up to the bar, having a beer, dropping another 10 at the fucking bar. That's public relations. And that's what I can't do that no more.
Right.
I can't sit at a bar. I don't drink. I feel like a fucking asshole drinking a soda with a fucking lemon in it. And I can't even do that. It tastes like dick to me, a soda. You know what I'm saying? Like every once in a while, I got a sudden urge for a Coke. But beside that, if I don't want a Coke, I drink water now. I don't know why. I just, the people telling me how bad diet soda was, so I just stayed away from it.
Right.
But it's very hard. 20 years ago? Oh, yeah. If I was doing the podcast 20 years ago, this would be huge because I'd just be drinking on here every fucking day and snorting coke on camera and fucking getting out of here paranoid and turning off the camera because the cops were watching me. You know how many fucking people would watch that today? You don't have any fucking idea? Some fat guy sweating, doing blow, pale, his shirt off. I'd take my shirt off, tits out.
You think you would do coke on the podcast?
15 years ago? Fuck yeah. 10 years ago, I'd do doing bumps on the podcast.
There'd be like two shows, the podcast show and then
the coke show.
And then the coke show.
Why not at this point?
Guys, I'm scared to turn the mics off. I don't know what's outside those doors.
It's 2007 fucking team. Any day now, some guy's going to go on Periscope and start doing fucking blow and go, the cops, and turn it off.
Yeah.
That guy's going to get a million fucking viewers a week. Okay?
Until he goes to jail.
No, he's not going to go to jail because he's going to do the last line on camera. Even if the cops kick the door down, he ain't got no coke.
They're gonna charge him with video evidence.
Who gives a fuck? It's in his body. What are they going to charge him with? Don't find a way to fucking charge him. But still, just do a line of coke. At the end of the night, after y'all coked up, the chick's there. She sucked your dick three fucking times.
On camera?
No, you're a Christian.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? You can't have your girlfriend suck your dick on camera. But they turn on the Periscope, and she's there foaming from the mouth. You're there with a robe on. You're all creepy and shit. You know? You're like, America, good night, Joey here. And you do that last gagger and shut it off.
Come see me in Milwaukee.
Come see me in Milwaukee. And you shut that fucking Periscope off. You know how many people are going to come to your show and bring you coke rocks? You're the fucking hero. It's
crazy.
A different thing. You know, it's a different way of
life. So we were getting back to the difference between being on the road then and now, like between flying and all that.
Well, that's...
They interrupted you. Well,
yeah, that... You know, you've had... I remember having that moment, like... I did this college tour. There was three of us in a van, and we would just, for 3 months, we'd be gone. We'd do a whole semester, and you would drive all over the country. And I went to, you know, I grew up in California, so I was like you said, you're like, I've never been to like Pennsylvania, my God, Pittsburgh, you know, like Philadelphia, this is crazy, New York City, like, you know, just places I'd never been to before. But then I got to the point where I'm like, how am I ever going to have any kind of relationship? And like, and you know, I only did that for 3 months at a time. I did it for a year and a half. You know, we take the summer off and stuff, but you picture yourself like getting older and like, thank God I'm not, you know, I broke away from that. Came to LA and, you know, I'm lucky that I have a family. You know, it's like some guys never get out of that, you know, and so it could be so.
I went to a club. You know, I used to work at the Boulder Broker as an opener. When I went through my divorce and stuff, what saved me and how I got my comedy chops, the beginning of my comedy chops was at the Boulder Broker. It was a restaurant on Tuesday nights for $15. You got a steak, a baked potato, and you got to see three comedians. And a guy named David Tribble booked them.
Yeah, the Tribble runs.
Okay, and in those days, let me tell you something. Felicia came through there. Doug Stanhope came through there. That'd be... The phone guy, Obelum, came through there. There had to be maybe seven comics that I still see around that I met in that Tribble run. And I would look at them every night, and all of them killed. You know, all the headliners fucking destroyed the room. But I would look at them, go home, and write why I wanted to be like them or why I didn't want to be like them. You know, while you're there waiting to go up, you talk to the comedian, you know, are you married? Do you live in L.A.? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I would take, like, a survey in my head. And... When I became a comic at first, what drew me to it was the non-responsible lifestyle. You get a P.O. box, Lee. Mm-hmm. You get a room at a fucking hotel for $62 a week. You buy blow. You drink beer. You write jokes. You go out. You come home at 4. You have sex. That was a fantasy for me at that time. And I lived it till like, those Miami weeks used to kill me. Those Houston, Texas weeks used to kill me.
In what way? Because you liked them, from what I know, from what I heard.
I liked them, but I liked them more because of the drugs.
Oh, okay.
Well, part of my touring in those days was for drugs. I would do half the year with Rogan, and I'd be spotless clean. Not really. After the shows, I'd go back to my hotel room and disappear in those days. And he wouldn't even bother me because that's why I love him. He knew what I was doing, and he didn't want to know. And then I would go out by myself, where if I was out for 5 nights, I would get high 4 of those nights.
Until what time in the morning?
5, 6, 7. Damn. By the time you wake up, it's 5. You take a shower, you eat something, you still hear the electricity in your head. Your sets are fucking garbage. Mm. Your sets are garbage, but because you're in the position that you're in your life, by the time the second show starts, you got to get a beer in you. The coke would be in my pocket. You know, I was going through the thing with the wife and being broke and, you know, and this was my out. This was my out, brother. But then I went to El Paso for New Year's, 2000, and something happened. One of those headliners I met, and Triple, that everybody said, in fact, he hired me. I opened for him on a Tuesday, and then he took me to Fort Collins on Wednesday. He paid me like $75. But right in front of me, this guy was getting coke, and I was getting coke. And by that time, I had learned in a way not to do coke with the headliners. At first, I would say I could get a fee, and after that, I even stopped.
Bad reputation?
Just because, you know, it takes your friendship down the wrong direction.
Oh, I see.
You want the comic to respect you, and you want to respect the comic. I didn't know that. I learned early on that if you sell coke, then they look at you like that way. It's like that scene with Lowe in the breakfast, not the Breakfast Club. What was the other one? St. Elmo's Fire. Mm-hmm. When he goes back to the campus and the kid says to him, "Dog, it's great to have you around. We always get good drugs when you're around." Oh, you don't want to be that guy. And I learned my lesson in Denver. I got a few calls sometimes. I tried to be cute. I'd show up with a half ounce. And then at the end of the night, they go, "Oh, you're a comic."
Like, what? Oh, I'm a comic.
You follow me? So it just didn't fucking work out. And then I came here and made one mistake and never did it again. And you're learning your lesson. But back to your original question. I would go to Houston and start getting high on. If my week started on Wednesday then, those weeks started on Wednesday,
okay,
I'd be in Houston on Monday night for the Monday night fucking open mic party. That went till 4 or 5 in the morning. And then Tuesday, there was no show and you got sleep and you ate a good dinner and you rested. And then Wednesday, brother, that party in Houston started all over again. And the same in Miami, the same when I go to El Paso. El Paso for me was a fucking, you know. But I went to El Paso for New Year's. And when I was in El Paso, that comic I told you. Now, this comic, I forget what his name is. He was a very good comic. He did The Tonight Show 2 or 3 times. He was doing well out here. Something happened. He lost his wife, the kid, and he just went on the road. And they were still giving him 2-3 grand, and he would go out every night on the road where he hung himself. I don't know where.
Oh, I think I know who it is.
Yes, he hung himself somewhere.
Drake?
No. This guy was like Brian or Richard, or he was an Irish guy.
Oh.
And it really dawned on me, because at the time, both of you, I could tell you to your face and the listeners, I was going in that direction.
Wow.
I was going to be that funny guy that never made it to L.A. and died on the road snorting coke. And at that point in my life, Lee, I can't tell you, I was okay with it. I was okay with it. Even after I'd gone to L.A. and I had done one commercial and one movie, 99, the beginning of 2000, I was just out on the road. And there was a point that I was saying, why go back to L.A.? To do what? $15 spots at the comedy store? At least I could stay out here, co-headline, pick up momentum and then go back in 10 years.
People never come back, huh? When they leave, it seems like.
Well, listen, sometimes the strategic move is for you to leave because that's when people think about you and bring you back. I.e. Bernie Mac. Not Bernie Mac. Who died? Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac moved to Chicago and everything changed. You know, there's the chick from the fucking commercials. What's the Geico?
The Allstate?
Allstate. The girl that's been doing commercials on for 2 years, Ro.
That girl
was packed up and ready to leave L.A. And she got that fucking commercial. That's a $5 million in 2 year deal. She shoots a commercial 2 times, 3 times a fucking month.
Oh, yeah.
By now, it's just a flat deal. By now, it's just a flat deal.
Oh, okay.
So there's two lifestyles you take. Now, for me, the lifestyle that works with what I saw early that I never thought I would achieve was what you're doing and what I'm doing now. But there has to be a balance, because what happens is if I took all the work in the world right now, which I can't handle, I'm too old and we have too much going on here, she would leave me within a year. We'd be financially set. But
you need that connection.
At that same time, Sunday through Wednesday, you can't build a family.
I don't know who said it, but I've heard it a lot that at a certain point, it's like $70,000. After that, money doesn't really matter. I don't know if it's $70,000 for you, but at a certain point, is there just enough money now?
20 years ago, there's never enough money. Now my family is so important that I'd rather live on a fucking budget and be around her, be able to walk her to school 3 days a week, be able to take my wife out to coffee in the afternoon. Just the fucking gift that I have to my wife not being able to work except doing our paperwork for the podcast and our paperwork for the chat, billing people, just there alone.
That's the best. My wife's like that.
Listen, if you have a child right now and both of you work, later on, something's going to happen. It's because you weren't at the house at 3 o'clock. And we've had this discussion on the podcast before. Listen, I was raised by a good parent, but there was a little bit too much freedom there. So because of that, I have to be a little tougher. Now you know the type of parent you want to be in, the type of family you want to be involved in. If my wife kept that job downtown, we'd been making real fucking money. But, you know, 3 days a week she gets stuck in traffic, she'd be half dead by the time she's 48. So you have to look at that. If you have the opportunity, you always have to look at that in life. Because I saw people die. My mom died from the stress, from the bills. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, because I get stressed out a lot. So I
try it's not to. Worth it. Yeah. You know what? I live a certain way. You know, before I was walking here tonight and I saw some douchebag with a convertible BMW playing some fucking, you know, whatever music. And a white dude, you know, only a white dude would act like a jerk off like that. And I said to myself, I wonder how much it cost to impress people.
I know.
What does it cost to
I don't think it's ever people? Over because there's always something
and
new.
I drive a black Subaru. I don't want nobody to see me. I'm like the green Hornet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm like the green
Hornet.
I've never been impressed with that shit.
I know.
I've never been impressed with walking into a place with gold chains on. I think that the empty barrels make the most noise. That's Sister Anna Banana, fourth grade. That's what she used to say all the time.
Make the most noise.
I go all the way back to fucking 73 with that one. 71. Empty barrels make the most noise.
Yeah.
I only drive with the music loud when we're on the 134 or the 405 doing 100, Lee. Am I lying to you? We never drive with loud music, just driving down the fucking street.
The windows down.
Not the street, Laurel Canyon.
But we're doing 90. Like I said, we're cutting off people. I cut some lady off in Burbank today. You know, even when she was mad and she was trying to chase me,
oh, no.
She was still 40 yards away from me. Like she was just the slowest fucking driver in the world. I'm doing 32.
I forget if it was a tweet or an email. But I'll never forget this. Whatever he did, contacted me and said, I just got cut off by Joey Diaz on the 1-on-1. But I don't even care. He beeped at me, and he cut me off. And people,
if you're gonna fucking hesitate, I jump right in because I'm one of those guys. When you're driving, you got to jump in. Now, in 1998, I met you, right, Darren? You were here.
Yeah, 90. Okay. Yeah, wife and I.
You introduced me to your wife, and I was impressed with you because of your wife. I thought you were a half a fucking mook. But I'm like, he's got to be swinging something if you pull this broad in. She's beautiful. She's smart.
Yeah.
Wow, she was very cool. We talked about Howard Stern, which made me standoffish. You know what I'm saying? At that time, I'm like, a woman? I didn't know the demographics of anything.
Yeah.
This is how long I know you, DC. This is 18 years. Her and I and you had a conversation. Yeah. Did she smoke cigarettes at the time?
No.
What? We were doing something because I wouldn't be outside if I wasn't doing something illegal.
Coffee? You might have.
No. We were at the improv. We were at the old improv on a Sunday night.
I actually met her there.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
You guys were happy. I saw you walking down the street, and you know, I had just gotten here, so you want to be the nice guy, and you're like, Joey, this is my girlfriend or wife. And we're talking about Howard Stern, and don't worry about the language. And I'm like, wow, Darren did okay. You know, he's a half a Christian, and look at us.
I know. It's so funny because, like,
fucking hysterical.
And I didn't know the style. Joey didn't used to tie his shoes, and I'd be like, Joey, your shoe's untied. And you're like, oh, I got it. You know, and you would just. You didn't care.
I was 400 pounds.
I was like, oh.
I could not just leave them untied and slip them on. I was on the move. Those things smelled like a goat. You know, it's funny. Another guy that sits in this chair, and I drop double digits on you, and you look at me like, Jesus Christ, we've been here a long time. This is so people at home understand the struggle. You know, last night a waitress hugged me with the glasses at the Comedy Store, the vegan. I love her with all my heart. Jen. And she goes, how's it going? I go, what in the struggle? And she looked at me like, you know, she's 26. Yeah. She goes, does it ever end? I go, no. You're always fucking pushing ahead. Every day you're moving. Every day you wake up with a fucking short laundry list. Every day you wake up with a short laundry list.
Yeah.
And it's, for me, it's not to like impress people or like to end this. When I think of ending the struggle, I think of being rich. It's not like I'm trying to impress. For me, I get envious sometimes, and that's something that, like, when I see people with those, like, that's what I want. Like, it's not that I'm maybe it is partly impression.
There's nothing wrong with wanting, like. Listen, when I was in a fucking thing in a prison eating Cheetos at 11:30 at night, I wanted a Cuban sandwich. I thought about it. You know what I'm saying? But there's nothing wrong with wanting, brother.
Yeah.
The plan is how you're going to get it. That's the plan we never analyzed, that we never really look at. I didn't know.
You just skip to right to where you already have it.
Yeah. You know, and then you put yourself in a bad position. You know, there's one car I like. Anything that the doors open up upward. That's cooler than shit.
You like that? Oh my goodness.
Not? I'm a fat fuck, but then again, I'm a fat fuck. I'm going to need a ladder and somebody to help me to get out of the car. Those cars are low.
Yeah.
You know, so you pull up, it takes you 18 minutes to get out of
those
the car.
Those Hot Wheels. Remember when we were kids, those Lamborghini.
You can just add them to any car. Just add them to the Subaru.
I really don't like them. I'm just saying, if somebody gave me $1 million and they go, you got to buy a car, I'd buy a Lamborghini. But again, I'd have to move.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because. Yeah. I want to do 190 in the fucking car. I don't want to do 65 in the 101s to drive. You know, on Sundays, I'm coming back from the airport, and I see these dudes take out their 1952 Chevys. And they're like, that part in 405 North, where it's like a 22 miles of this like this. It's on a grade.
Yeah.
That'll fuck you up, dog. That'll fuck you up. That's 2 days of walking right there, that little fucking grid. You better pitch a tent, bitch.
I don't picture you parking your Lamborghini in front of a, you know, like a comedy club and like woo, woo, gunning it and look at me. Look at, that's not you, man.
I don't.
You know?
I've never, ever, ever appreciated that type of behavior. No. Like, never do I want to see myself in the front of a restaurant with an umbrella. Yeah. I'm always in the back, you know. Fuck it, you know. I never saw myself. I remember the first time I got invited to a premiere. Okay, guys, I got invited to a premiere and I didn't show up. Okay.
I went
to the cast and crew. That meant more to me. I saw the guys that held the cameras and they were like, dog, we saw the first cut. You were solid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
First time was Spider-Man 2.
Nice.
Didn't go to the premiere.
Mm.
Couldn't even dream about it. Just thinking about it gave me fucking anxiety. I could feel my skin moving.
The getting dressed up, the cameras, what part?
Walking in there. Just walking in there because I know deep down inside I don't belong in there. Who the fuck am I?
Why? You were in the movie.
Who gives a fuck? I told Spider-Man, whatever, Captain Ock. But 10 years ago, I would have pulled out a gun and shot Captain Ock. You know what I'm saying? You think I would have stood there and said whatever the fuck I said?
You got to go through me?
Yeah, you got to go through him. You got to go through me. I would have never fucking said that. I would have said, take your guns out. This is New York City. Shoot this fucking metalhead.
How cool is that going to be when your daughter is old enough to watch Spider-Man and really comprehend, like, that's my dad. That's awesome.
I'm on the fence still.
You know?
I'm on the fence about showing her.
Well, it's not going to be a choice after, like, the age of, like, 8.
Well, I don't think those kids are going to be looking at Spider-Man 2 from 19 fucking...
That's the first thing she's going to Google.
No.
You don't think so?
I hope not. I'm at a plan right now where I don't want her to know much until... You know, it's like 2 weeks ago, Johnny Depp was accused of hitting that woman. I don't know what her name is. I'm not making an accusation. I'm not, you know... But a day later, the daughter stuck up for him. Because I can't imagine when my daughter's 10, after I do all this stuff with her, and she turns on YouTube and hears me telling the story about mugging a hooker, she's going to look at that computer speaker and go, that's not my dad.
Yeah.
That can't be my dad. My dad never mugged a hooker and lit a wig on fire. And then she's going to go to the fucking Church of What's Happening Now, episode 1, The Invention of the Flying Jew.
I think.
And that's my Uncle Lee. In her mind, she's like, nah. Yeah. But then she'll put the church on.
Yeah.
And then she'll hear Lee, and I'm calling him the Flying Jew, and we're talking about eating his neighbor's asshole and all this shit. And she's like, that's my Uncle Lee. Now I'm really fucking heartbroken. They're two savages. I lived with two savages all my life. That's it. That's what. But.
on any of those kind of jokes with my act, because I'm not, I don't really go there, but a little bit I do. And sometimes my kid will be like, I don't even know what that means, Dad. What does that even mean? The other day he goes, because I do those I like my women jokes, you know, the I like my, and the one that he heard on, he goes, what does that mean? Because he goes, I like my women like I like my Luke Skywalker gripping my lightsaber with daddy issues. And he goes, what does that mean? Why is that funny? I don't know what that means.
Hey, I'm like him. I don't know what that means either.
Oh, my God. But
Lee, how you doing over there?
I'm good. You want to take another one? You want to take a red one?
Nah, right now.
No? Okay.
We got a mushroom stem coming pretty soon.
Okay. But I think she'll like it. I think I don't think, maybe not eight, but I think
this is not the reason, guys. That's not the reason.
What's not the
reason? All right, let's pretend something miraculous happens. And I buy a house somewhere around here.
Okay.
Okay. The closer you get to here, all these kids are kids whose parents do something in the business. And they all these kids are rotten. What do you think that high school in Malibu? Kids are dropping over there from pill use and shit. All those high schools where these fucking rich kids go to, these movie star kids, it's not good, Lee. I don't want my child to have to go somewhere where, again, somebody's driving a BMW convertible, 16 in high school, and now you got to go home going, what the fuck is going on here? What are these people, poor?
Yeah, right, I mean, right. That's kind of not like movie stars, but that's a high school I grew up in. Kids are driving in Escalades, and it's weird, but it was, like, couldn't you go somewhere in North Hollywood? Because you're not going to send her to private school, are you? Well, I guess maybe you have to in L.A.
No. There's a lot of schools that are highly rated in this area. Really, like North Hollywood, whatever. There's a school in North Hollywood where I know the Kreischer's.
Oh, okay.
Kreischer's taking her out of private school to put her in that high school.
Oh, wow.
Because that North Hollywood High is ranked really fucking high across the country.
Okay.
So there's schools around here that I don't want them in a charter school.
No.
I don't want no artistic shit. You know, I don't want no fucking pictures when they're 15. I need, you know, you need to know algebra. You need to understand logistics. That's what, you know, when you, the other night we were making jokes that you don't need the fucking, the thing, you know, the protractor and the compass. Yeah. You never use it again. When was the last time you did a comedy gig and broke out your protractor? But you know what? It made you think logically at that age.
Yeah.
You know, it's like smoking pot without smoking pot.
Well, that's actually a new thing that you're going to have to deal with, Joey. Like, how frustrating is it now? That's all I hear about from parents now is how frustrating it is to have kids in school.
Oh, Common Core math? Things like that? How the math is totally different than what we grew up on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, that's – do you ever – like. That's something you're going to start doing.
Listen, I don't even know fractions. I heard a fraction joke 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, fractions. Whatever happened to the fraction? I guess the fraction's still fucking around like cancer. Yeah. I thought the fraction decepitated. I didn't know that it's still lurking like fucking, you know. It's still lurking, the fraction?
Amen. They're higher fractions.
The thing about fractions is, here's the thing. Like, you bang your head all your life to learn fractions, and then when you're 14, you start smoking pot. They come to you just like that. Because everything's a fucking fraction. An eighth, a quarter, three quarters, an ounce. Follow me?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be cute here and tell you the truth. All through your life, you struggle with fractions. But, Daddy, how do you convert both of them? Both bottoms have to be equal and all that shit.
Coming
and one years. Day when you're 14, you smoke a joint, you go to buy a bag, it all comes to you. And it comes to you quick. A gram, or 7 grams is a quarter. Whatever the fuck, 3.5 is an eighth. 14 grams is a half ounce, and everything is an eighth, three quarters, a third, you know?
I'm pretty good at fractions. I have no idea with any of that stuff. I never understand it. For whatever reason.
What, drug fractions?
Yeah, the eighth, quarter, gram, it's too much.
That's good to know. Now, thank you, Lee. Now, DC, when did you marry her?
Got married in 97, man.
Okay, when did the baby come?
The baby, we waited almost 10 years. Yeah, it's a big decision. And you know, you don't just...
So for those first 8 years, what was touring like?
touring, a lot of colleges, you know, touring. And to this day, I've spoken to her every day on the phone, like every day. And there's not a day that's gone by that I haven't talked to her. It's like,
when you were coming back from the road, would you take her for a date during the week?
Yeah,
would you go to dinner?
You come back and, you know, and we used to play a lot of like tennis and just, you know, take long walks because you really have to have that. You know, in a relationship, you know, you have to, otherwise you find, you know, you can grow apart. Even if you're like gone, if you're in town and you're constantly on your computer or in your phone and ignoring each other, then it's, you know, you got to have that connection. Like you were saying with your wife, it's like you need to have that where you guys go somewhere and you do something. Like today we went, it was great, man. Like as a family, we went, you know, to the arcade and we all, my wife and I and the little 8-year-old boy, we went miniature golfing for the first time and. It was awesome. We played video games and, you know, just hanging out, eating a little slice of pizza and spending 4 hours just having a ball, man. It's summertime. You got to do something a little different, you know?
Let me ask you something. With all this shit that's going on that happened Saturday night in Orlando, God bless that soul. How do you feel about your child, your wife? I mean, are you a little more cautious? Are you looking around?
Yeah, you know, you think about that because it's like what they said, soft target. It's like, you know, I'm always been, you know, you know, I carry this flashlight. Like I'm always like, where's the exits? What's going on? Like, where's my? Make sure your car isn't like too close to the car in front of you in case you got to make like an escape route or something. You know,
I'm getting anxiety just thinking about.
Yeah, yeah, it's sad. You know, like you said, you know, you put yourself out in those popular movies. You know, like we're gonna go see this popular movie. I'm like, do we have to go? You know. Let's pick a, you know, a theater that's not necessary. I mean, it's one of those things you think about, you know?
You know, you live in a society now where your child goes on vacation and it gets gobbled by a fucking alligator at a place where there's signs, signs. I mean, who sees signs when you're on fucking vacation?
I know. You don't even think about that.
You know, you're walking around a new fucking turf, you know?
I know.
So, It just, you know, it makes you think that... You know, when I walk her to school, I pick her up. You know, it just makes you fucking think that we live in a society where every time you see somebody, you got to hug them. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know if you're going to fucking see that person again. This is what it's really turned into.
I know.
It used to be 10% that you'd giggle.
Yeah, yeah.
After you'd fuck with somebody. Hey, good to see you. You know, yeah. You had 10 drinks with somebody. Yeah. And all of a sudden, all three of us would get into the car. And on the way home, you'd say to yourself, could that be the last time I see fucking the Flying Jew?
I did the Dime Bar a couple of weeks ago on Fairfax and across from Cantor's, and they had the door open. Adam Hunter runs that room. And there's the room was packed, and the door's open. And across the street, they had a celebration. And so they were lighting off firecrackers, but we didn't know that. And the comic on stage goes, it sounds like there's gunfire out. But then it kept going, pop, 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 pop. And everybody got out of their seats and bottlenecked to look out the door to see what was happening. And then, oh, it's fireworks, you know. But there was that moment, like when they were all running that way, I was like,
this is what we've become.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, you know.
I would shit my pants, guys. I'd have a nervous fucking breakdown.
I mean, you can't even imagine, like...
20 years ago, I could take the gunfire and crawl and play fucking Rambo and jump through a window. I think now we just hyperventilate, just the breathing, just the hearing the...
Yeah.
I think I'd PTSD, would come back, I'd start fucking yelling fucking Vietnamese fucking things and shit.
And especially with, like, he was just walking around making sure people were dead.
That was very scary.
They said he was laughing as he was doing it and being all creepy. And
that was very scary a couple of weeks ago when I came, where did I come? Oh, when I came back from Omaha Sunday at 9:20 in the morning. My flight was supposed to land at 9:20. It landed at 9:18, but it's a short walk to luggage. And guess what? When I got to the luggage, I was spitting out. I grabbed it. I walked 20 yards. And there was a guy out there. And he flashed at me, and I go, one. And he goes, next cab. And that girl got in the cab before me. Mm-hmm. And as I got in the cab, and I always feel dumb when I tell these stories, and I always feel like an asshole because I hate when somebody sneaks up on me.
Yeah.
I think that I'm always that sharp to hear two guys walking behind me. Lisa, I ain't ready for this. I gave the fucking guy the luggage, shook his hand. He went to block me. I go, no, no, no. I got the door myself. And as I closed the door, I opened my window. And as I was putting the window down, Two fucking cops were walking past me, Darren. I'm not talking about two cops. I'm talking about fucking Nazis with fucking power, fucking weapons.
Wow.
And I looked at him and I asked the cab driver, is like that today? And he goes, traffic. I mean, already at 9:18 on Sunday at 9:30. Let's pretend it was 9:35.
Yeah.
There was already heavy duty traffic. But when he pulled out, I looked at section 4, which is American Airlines.
Yeah.
And in there was SWAT.
Wow.
So that's the society we're living in. So when you're fucking getting into the airport now, your fucking neck hairs stick up.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get to your gate, and God knows what's going on your fucking gate, and God knows what's going on your fucking flight. I mean, you got to look at it this way. It's like throwing spaghetti up at the wall. The more things you go to, eventually you're going to get caught in one of them. If you go to a lot of concerts, if you go to a lot of the UFCs, if you go to a lot of this or that, who knows? And it's not even what's going on. It's the people that we have here that just go off the radar, you know.
The guy was, it comes out that his wife, like, they would drive and scope out this gay club together, and then she went with him to get the, you know, the holster.
Who fucking knows?
It's fucked up because, like, even the night before in Florida, a white dude killed a girl.
I know, at the merch table.
Right. So, and I have a fucked up history with this. We all know I spent time in Israel, and when I came back, it's weird how, like, the media and the people around you really influence how you feel. I was a little bit more racist, I guess, towards Arabic people, like in my head. But I really feel like this, like when we look back, it's going to be really bad, the shit we're doing to Muslim people. Like, obviously ISIS is terrible, but the majority of them aren't. And but it's to a point now where it's all we think about, that if, like, you're on a flight and two Muslim-looking guys come walk on, you're not going to not think about it. Like, it's just, it's,
that's what,
it's,
I know,
weird.
That's another thing. You're right. The whole thing is because, and then some people wanted to complain, but then they were like, oh, I don't want to be, like, you know, not PC. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And then that's what they're saying with the San Bernardino, that people were saying that, but they didn't want to be not PC. So it's like, what are we supposed to do?
I know. Because if you don't want to,
it's weird.
Last night, there was a moment. Lee and I went to a place, I had a spot at the store, which I died a slow death last night. It was tremendous. And I didn't feel bad.
No, you didn't.
But you know what? I wasn't prepared. I didn't know what to say. Yeah. I didn't know what temperature the room was. You know, 2 days ago, there was a national disaster.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to go up there. Yes. I've seen comics go up there and walk the room, half rooms. It's not worth it. At this point in my life, I don't want no war with nobody. Let me go up there and keep it. And Rogan was sitting there, and I'm like, and the guy, Eric Giffen, who was killing last night, was borderline gay jokes, positive way. And all of a sudden, I go, is it too quick to talk about gays? And Rogan's like, fuck no, go up there. And I open up with a gay joke, that dies. I go up with something else, that dies. Something else, that dies. I threw fucking 8 fastballs, nothing. You know, and it's you come home and you giggle about it and you feel bad. I woke up this morning. I'm talking to my agent. He says, listen, man, I was at the store last night. He goes, I just missed you. He goes, I was there last night. I was a dead fucking audience. He goes, even Jake Oakerson was like, what the fuck is up with them tonight? So thank God that justified my love a little bit. Like, I wasn't that bad. Jay and a bunch of other comics didn't do well, so.
You know, it's funny. I saw you work last week, I think it was. And you know what? It's great to watch other comics that get it. You know, like, there was 2 rooms at that club. And one room, the guy's probably been doing the same stuff forever, like by the book, you know, A through Z. And then I saw you, and it was so good because it's like you're taking chances, risks. You're talking about things that, you know, look, you know what I mean? It looks like, okay, here's my 6 things I want to talk about. Voting. I saw some guy wearing colored socks. You know, and you go off and around. You know what? Colored socks. What if you cut yourself and gets into your bloodstream? Come on, people. I got to explain everything. And it was so nice to see that. And then you're like, oh, let me hit this other thing about cooking or whatever. You know what I mean? It was nice. It wasn't just like, you know what I mean? Like that's, I love it when comedy is like that.
Listen, know? Judy Carter's book. Again, if you're thinking about getting into stand-up comedy, Judy Carter's book is a must, the first one, because she has a list in there that says, talk about what fucking really aggravates you.
Yeah.
What really fucking aggravates you. The problem with people is we talk about what aggravates us minorly. We really don't want to get into the nuts and bolts because it gets a little tricky in there. But some people know how to pull it out and walk on a thin line on it. That's me. I want to pull it out, let you know I got this problem. But let's walk on a thin line a little bit. Let's not go either way. I got to keep you in the thin line.
Oh, man.
That's a weird way of thinking, Lisa, because that's what the comedy really is. It's deep in that fucking hatred and that pain. Why do you hate that shit? That dude that you see in a fucking, you ever see like police movies?
Yeah.
And the guy's in the chair and they're asking him questions. You killed him. You killed him. And all of a sudden he sits quiet for like 2 seconds. Then he goes, I did it because I hated my father. He raped me and he sold me to a bunch of gypsies for $30. You know, it's, right there, if that dude would have wrote that 8 minutes into comedy, he would have got an HBO special. But who knows off the bat, that's the way you're hiding all those years. You think I would tell a fucking story about mugging a hooker and lighting her wig on fire? That was so tucked away in my soul. You know, that thing with the fucking... all those stories, dog, I tucked those things away 15 years ago. I thought I never needed them again. Boy, do you need those things to define who the fuck you are. You really need those moments and go, wow, I learned that from that experience. Whether it was a negative or positive experience, you got something out of that fucking experience. If my friend one night went to hit somebody with he took St. Lazaro's cane. At my party. My mom was on vacation in Florida and I had a party and he took this. I still think about that every night. There was 3 or 4 dudes that would have killed us. Not with guns, but hand-to-hand combat. They would have beat us up to death. This Chris Donovan kid took this thing and looked at him and said, she's not here, but if you make one more move, I'll bust your fucking head with this thing. That kid was pissing his pants. But he picked that thing up and he took a chance. And it was my mother's thing. My mother would have killed me. But you know what? From that day, I learned something. That I don't care what's in front of you if you stick up for yourself. And you really believe it from your heart. That's why if you go up there and tell a joke, even if it's off fucking color, if your conviction is real, oh, my God, they take the ride. It's when you see somebody go up there and go on with a fake rant. Lisa has seen it.
Yeah.
I go, Lee, what do you think? It looks a little rehearsed. Boom. If Lee picked that off, you know, you follow me? I see it all the time. I see when somebody already rehearsed that rant. It just came to him. That was the night I talked about Prince and the kale.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
That's what I ended with that night. Because I was up there and I said, you see Prince, he died from those fucking fentanyls, whatever. And people were like, ooh. And I go, wait. Come on, guys. What do you think Prince was at home doing?
Oh, that's right.
Drinking kale shakes. And I just fucking, you know, it was from my soul. It's the truth. Are you fucking retarded? What do you think he was doing at the Pink Gracie Hotel? Paisley Park. What do you think he was doing there? Doing jumping jacks. And there's bodies under that fucking building. There's women who have orgasmed that he put ticklers in their asshole and fucked them to death and played the guitar and drowned them with his nut suck. You know. Are you fucking kidding me?
I love the part when you're saying, you go, I don't, you ladies need to learn how to suck dick. Or you might, I got this ugly uncle or whatever. Or cousin.
My cousin. Three dicks a week.
I don't want to see an ugly guy suck dick. You ladies are home eating a bowl of ice cream, feeling sorry for yourself, watching Netflix.
It's nice to eat 4 stars, ain't it, Lee? Cocksucker. Look at
it's great.
I'm looking at Lee. And Lee's doing, let me tell you some guys at home, if you listen to this, if you're a fan of Lee, I tell you what, he's at a point right now where it's all coming together. He sees the effort he's putting in, you know, what he's doing, and now he's like, oh, you know what? I get it now. If I'm getting up 3 days a week to see this fucking lunatic Irish guy at 9 o'clock, and I don't get out of there till 9:40, and here's the kicker, Joey. That we do all this shit, and it's a great workout. Then at the end, he makes us do 200 swings in 10 minutes. I know Lee. Guys, I saw Lee's face after the first 2 times at kettlebell. I thought he was going to die on me, and trust me, I was sitting next to him, thought I was going to die. Lee's doing all this shit. So finally, one day, you go, you know what? You know what? At first, anybody who exercises and sticks to a plan and really serious about it, at some point goes, well, what an ice cream do to me? And you look at the scale and you didn't gain any weight. And then you go, what an ice cream does to me 2 nights a week. You know what I'm saying? And then you go, oh, an ice cream does 3 nights. And next thing you know, you look at the scale and you're 9 pounds heavier and your input is still the same.
Yeah.
You're even doing 40 minutes a day on the fucking elliptical, but you're slipping at different places. And you go, that's it. I don't need this. And you start tightening up. For 2 weeks, you get on the scale. You lost the weight you gained plus 4 pounds. You go, that's it. That's the formula now. I'm going to do 3 kettlebells a week. I'm going to do this. This is what I need to eat. I'm going to make grilled chicken and hummus and stink like a fucking, you know, like a messenger of death.
I tell him every time I make hummus bowls just to piss him off.
Oh, but I got to hang up. I hang up and I say a prayer for him. Every fucking time he tells me hummus, because again,
I love hummus.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's fucked up.
You hate it? He hates it?
Because the first, oh yeah, he hates it. The first mistake.
I love it with ranch dressing. Just kidding. Oh,
the first mistake I made was getting off of MyFitnessPal.
Oh,
that's a mistake.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. They emailed me tonight before I came here telling me you logged on for the last 190 days.
Yeah.
If you don't log on, you're going to fucking. Mm. And I went and logged on and did my menu.
I was very proud of that streak and I'm fucked up. So I need to get back on that. But that's, yeah, that's exactly what you said happened. I just, and I saw it happening because I've lost the weight like 7 times. I should be skinny by now.
So this is what happens, okay? Because I live it with you.
Yeah.
So in your mind, this is like I used to treat cocaine. Okay, listen, I love cocaine. I love cocaine. I love going out and getting evil and crawling on the floor and eating somebody's monkey. I love all this shit. This was my passion, right? I can't do it 7 nights a week. But let's say I do it 3. Nobody needs to know nothing. Right? Now, obviously 2 nights a week, you and I get together and eat Stars of Death.
Correct.
And then there's 1 night you do them with Paula. On those nights, you get up in 2 and go to the Yum Yum Donuts, and there's always a by the way there. When you guys go out, you go somewhere goofy and eat one of those cookies with ice cream in the middle, which tastes like ass, and any way you put it, you know. It's so funny how they resell a product that's been around since I was a kid. And when I was a kid, it was fucking an ice cream and 2 cookies.
Yeah.
Now they go skadoodles. And these suckers are like, I'm going over there to get skadoodles. They've been around for 2,000 fucking years. How do you think I put on my first 10 pounds? By eating fucking peanut butter? No, skadoodles.
I just wiggled it. My problem was just because I'd be pretty good during the day. But
so that's the thing. I know the 4 nights. I know for a fact tonight, 4.5 stars, I'm going to go home. Something's going down.
Yeah.
What goes down, I don't know. If there's apricot or peach. Well, there might be a couple apples. They belong to the baby, but who the fuck knows? I could borrow one of them. I'll drink water for a little while. There's mixed nuts. I'll take the almonds out.
That's the high road. You're going the high road. That's great. And then, if you do that, that's not bad.
After 11:40, I start looking for the peanut butter.
Yeah.
And now is the real test because there's always 2 gallons in the fucking backup in case there's an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
I got peanut butter till next fucking Tuesday.
I can't do that.
What?
Anytime I get peanut butter, I eat the whole thing within like a week. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
But I'd rather do that than eat a steak and fries at 2 a.m. with a milkshake.
I think a steak and fries might be better.
So you got to cut a deal with yourself, dog. So you eat the fucking 2 spoonfuls of fucking peanut butter. You watch an old episode, whatever episode of Honeymoons came on Monday. When you go to sleep, that's it.
Nobody I've actually eaten peanut butter and crackers and watched workout videos on YouTube because I'm like, I'm going to do this tomorrow at the gym.
When you're on the fucking road and you go back to a hotel, unless it's the Four Seasons, you know what you got? You got a vending machine. And I can read you the vending machine from fucking memory right now.
Do you know your favorite letter and number combinations?
R2. It's the ranch dressing,
corn nuts.
Nacho fucking corn nuts.
You don't eat those.
No, that's what I'm saying. This is an imagination, Lee. I'm just saying that's what's in there. It's not the fucking ranch. It's the other ones. What's the nacho cheese chips?
Oh, Doritos.
Doritos, nacho cheese.
Cool Ranch.
Dorito Cool Ranches, Wise potato chips, Wise barbecue, fucking peanuts, mixed nuts, the spring vegetable nuts, the 4 crackers with that fucking cancer cheese with the little spoon in the middle. How many people have gotten cancer from those fucking crackers? The 4 crackers with the thing. And I'm going deep.
Delicious. I used to love those.
Oh, everybody's loved those things. That's how they first injected in you, through those fucking crackers. And it either grows or your immune system blows it up. Think of that cheese. That's not fucking cheese. Remember when you just get it to eat the cheese and throw the crackers away. That's when you know you're a fat fuck.
Red spoon.
Yeah, with the little red spoon, and you save the red spoon for it. Like, someday I'm going to do something with these spoons.
I don't know if they had them when you were... I don't know if they had them when you guys were kids, but Dunkaroos, they're like cookies, and they you can dip them in icing.
Oh my gosh, it sounds good.
It's like the same thing. It's like the crackers and the cheese, but cookies.
Listen, I used to make cakes and not bake them. You understand me? I would just eat the fucking
The frosting
mix.
And the mix?
Everything. And one time I threw the reefer mix in there, ate it all out of the bowl. I slept for 3.5 days, you know.
Weren't there raw eggs in there? I had a diabetic
fat combination, fucking everything.
He said, were there raw eggs in there?
Oh, yeah. Who gives a fuck? It's like Rocky ate
that. Yeah, exactly.
Who gives a fuck? You want to be, how do you think they ate eggs? You think they always cook, you eat that they always fried those fucking things? People used to drink them, like just eat them like a clam.
That's crazy. It would take like an hour, doesn't it?
What?
To bake a cake? It'd be way better.
No, but you know what? You're hungry, though. You don't have that hour. You're just like, it's right here. It's right now. That's why I like the peanut butter, you know?
My life.
Well, your shit's like.
I could lie to everybody and tell you I was a mess when I moved into my wife's house. And it took about 4 years for me to come out of this fog. And one day I looked at her and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm giving all my effort to this, and this. And where am I going? I got to be giving effort to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And something clicked into me. And then it just became tighter and tighter. And she became a piece of me. And she understood me. And I understood her. And it really balanced out the comedy. It took a little focus off my comedy. But I kind of needed that at that time. Or I would become insane. There's a point that you have to... push yourself away from the business. I had already gotten a movie or two. I had already done comedy at the Comedy Store for fucking 6 or 7 years. You know, if something was going to happen, it would have happened. What the fuck am I doing with my life? Let me go, this girl digs me. Let me go put effort into this woman. And then we ended up getting married and whatever. Now we have the child. Whatever. And now I found the balance. I never thought they could beat. Listen, guys. I lied to a lot of fucking young kids. I lied to a lot of young kids 10 years ago because I told them that you can't be a good comic if you're married with a child. And boy, did I give bad advice to a lot of people because I know the commitment level it needs to become to come out here and really push fucking through. It's tough enough that you started as an open micer in your town. And then you started emceeing, and then somebody liked you and took you on the road, and you came back and featured for a year and a half. Then Montreal told you to go fuck yourself, but this club in San Diego, the owner likes you, and he thinks he wants to manage you. So you move out, and now you're in the fucking game. Now you're in the game. That 6 years you just did, that was basic training, bitch. This is where people crack. Once they jump into the game, they look at this place, and they know after a week if they're going to fail. I know 1,000 stars that could have been stars and could have, you know, and we've had this conversation 1,000 times. But it's so weird how you evolve once you have the family, once you have somebody at home. Like, it really changed for me in 2005, and it just got better and better and better because I found the balance. And like I always say, I know how what it takes to lose a family. I did that. So from that, I learned how to not lose a family, and there's a different level of commitment. Even if you're just sitting there for a year, you think, you want me to lie to you people? For the first year that Mercy was born, I would sit there and my fucking skin would crawl. Because in my heart, I could have been doing 1,000 fucking things to help this house. But you know what? I learned that the best thing I could do to help this house is to sit there with it and watch bubble guppies. And watch fucking, you know, all those other shows. And I respect the shit out of you, guys like Josh Wolf, guys like fucking Bert Kreischer, guys like Tom Papa.
Yeah.
These guys have fucking, Gaffigan's got 4 fucking kids.
I know.
And you gotta go out every night and bang it out with savages and write material. And fucking, you know, that's tough. Rogan, that's tough. I see Rogan's flight fucking schedule.
Mm.
If he's not doing comedy, he's doing UFC. That's 4 or 5 fucking weekends a month. You know how tough that is on your family if you're not connected? Because I know dudes who come home on Monday morning, and guess what they do for 2 days? They sleep.
I don't want to be like that.
That's not what I wanted to be at all. At all. I can't have a fucking sleep.
I know, especially if you're leaving the next, you're like,
Sleeps? I don't have time to sleep. I need sunshine.
It's hard. Like today I had 4 hours of sleep and I'm like, all right, let me just push through this and do this. And I'm glad because that's what you want to do. You know, the family time, creating those memories and just, enjoying each other's company. And it's like, you know, and I got to say, not only do I know you and, I'm a listener of this podcast and it's funny for like the listeners, like, you know, I also am a fan. Like there's only, you know, and there's not that many podcasts I listen to. I mean, you know, this is one of my main podcasts. I love this podcast. And we had a family, you know, tragedy back in December. My mother-in-law passed away. And, you know, that's a shocking thing when something like that happens. It was out of left field and you don't want to believe it. And it's, you know, and then my wife had to take my son and go up north and take care of business and, you know, just try to make some sense out of it. And I had a couple hours by myself and it's like, I was like, let me just go for a walk. I just got to go for a walk and just kind of deal with like what just happened. And it's, and you just, for some reason, I brought my iPod and I, for comfort, I put on the Church of What's Happening Now. And man, it's not to be a psycho, but like, I actually was like, you know, it was great to like just have that comforting talk. And I actually was, you know, I'm crying. I'm looking like a, you know, like listening to this podcast. And there was this one part where you said something like, every day I get out of bed and I'm, you know, I'm above ground. I thank my lucky stars and I love my daughter. And it wasn't just like meaningless words. Like it really meant something to me right there. And man, that was the best thing to hear and to have that common, that bond that we, you know, we have as entertainers and as people. And I remember like sending you a message like right away and you got back to me like, you know, right away. And it felt so good just to have that, man, you know, because I at that time I didn't even know if I could even talk to anybody or tell anybody what happened, you know, like I was like, let me just have a couple hours just, you know, by myself and get out there and walk. And
when people talk to me about the podcast,
yeah,
for the last 3 years, it's very hard for me to digest the things they say to me.
I can imagine.
This is just two fucking crazy imagine. Motherfuckers
yeah.
talking
yeah.
shit. People say things to me and I get mini anxiety attacks. I really do. I'm like, look at this fucking moron. He listens to us and he's gotten something out of the show. What'd you learn? What'd you learn? How to roll a joint? You fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking. I started thinking about being young and the things I depended on. And little by little, I started getting it. You know, in those days, I was fucked up. Listen, happiness to me in those days was putting on a Black Sabbath album, as sad as that sounds, and listening to that fucking stuff that gives Lee anxiety at 16, you know. Those words, I found some warmth in those fucking words. And, you know, so I understand that it's Lee or the connection, or maybe we take you somewhere, or the vulnerability that we show sometimes, because that's it. You know, I didn't want to do this to just be a fucking announcer.
Yeah.
I wanted to do this to have a voice every week, but also it's tough. People, when you're down, it's tough to look at people and go, wow, you know, he did this or this or this or this. It's tough for a person to imagine that they could do that. And that's what I want people to know with this show. I always have different type of people on this show, but they all have the same thing. They stuck to something.
Yeah.
And it's really nice to, you and I have been talking about freedom the last 7 years. Freedom has been big because we came here when there was no freedom. What do I mean by no freedom to the people at home? No freedom was Darren Carter would come up to me and say, Doug, you're an orphan. Yeah, listen, I want to write a pilot about an orphan. Okay? And about two orphans in a fucking orphanage who run a gambling casino. Whatever the fuck. Well, I'm just making a hypothesis. Whatever. I don't even know if that's a word, right word, hypothesis. But it sounded
hypothetical.
Yeah, but it sounded correct for the situation. Shit, right? So
fractions.
Okay, so now fractions, the whole fucking deal. So now, next thing you know, we write this out.
Yeah.
We take it to your manager. I'm a bum. I don't have a manager. You take it to your manager. Your manager loves it. He has a writer who contacts HBO and blah, 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 blah. We take it everywhere. They love Darren. They love Joey. They love Lisa. Yeah, but guess what? Nobody wants to buy it. And it's done. Well, guess what? That's it. Darren goes home. He looks like a mook. He told his wife he was buying her a house on the top of the mountain in Glendale.
Yeah.
Now he's got to give her guts. They got to stay in that little shack in fucking Laguna Beach and share a car and, you know. But not anymore. Darren could get a different writer, repackage it, and take it to Netflix. And if Netflix don't want it, he could take it to Hulu. And if Hulu don't want it, he could take it to Fuse. And if Fuse don't want it, he could take it to Showtime. And if Showtime don't want it, and eventually you have more avenues. And guess what? And if Darren really, really believes in it, he could do a Kickstarter with a fucking real CBS producer and try to sell it to CBS, which never happens, of course. Mm-hmm. And but you spend the fucking $80,000 and you shot a pilot. It's your accomplishment. You put $20,000 into it, but Hollywood didn't like your idea. That's the options we have now. So for years, you and I have been speaking about CDs, and we've been talking about how Lee and I one night took a fucking thing, took it down to Bray, and
a rented one,
and next thing you know, we got a fucking CD that's number one in Canada, or whatever. And Lee and I couldn't figure it out.
Mm.
So we did it again 18 months later. That wasn't as good as the first one. It did well. And then we waited 2 years and we did it again. And that one was sensational. And our friend taped it for us, the whole thing. But here's the beauty of it, that for years, nobody liked me. Nobody knew I existed. I just put them on iTunes. And guess what? I get a revenue on it, and I don't get a great percentage. If anybody deals with iTunes, oh, put your music on iTunes and see what you get out of it, cocksuckers. And they take a percentage out. They bang you out on the side. They bang you out in the fucking head. By the end, get that piece of paper. Get up. No, please don't touch a drawing. You get a piece of paper and all the fucking ouch. It's like that one Ralph Cranham scene with Norton. He rips it down and he has one piece of paper left. He puts it on his forehead. Same fucking thing. They take you down. But at least you have that freedom to do that.
Yeah.
When you and I got here in 2003, if fucking Sound 4 Records and Johnny's Record Shack and Boo Boo LaBoo didn't sign you, you didn't put out a fucking CD. Remember that?
Yeah.
Man, I showcased for Uproar or whatever the fuck they are. They didn't like me and shit. And then fucking the dude from Vietnam came to you one day and goes, you want to shoot us anything? How about I give you $33 a minute? You tape up at the Ice House.
I know.
And then next thing you know, people calling you from truck stops. Man!
Yeah,
I saw your CD in fucking South of Amarillo.
No, I heard that, you know, this is what I heard, you know, Jeff Foxworthy, that you might be a redneck, that was in all these truck stops. And I heard that one of those tapes, he only got $400 for the whole thing. And come on, that's one of he's the You Might Be a Redneck guy. And that was in the 80s. And that's what he got. And then these other record companies back in the day, like, oh, I got a record company. But then the comics start, you know, they're like, I never got really paid for it. And I have to pay, like, you know, $6. I got to buy my own copies for, like, $6 a piece. And I'm like, man.
Guys, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, when you're
like,
hear
can
about,
you ever get ahead?
When you hear about the music industry and you hear about Black Sabbath who had bad deals and management who stole money. I remember one time, these guys came to me. And we showcased at the Ice House, and they loved everything. And then we showed up, and we signed all this paperwork for the armed forces. Remember that? What was the name of that? And we all shot, and they gave us $1,500 flat.
What was that one?
And they gave us a thing and an address, and they were going to sell 150,000 units. And if that went through, we were going to get an additional $10,000.
Mm.
I waited for about 12 months, and then I got the longest yard. Maybe even longer, two or 3 years, and I got the longest yard. And I fucking, the attorney I hired, I got him on it. And he was like, this is the craziest thing. The paperwork exists, but these people are ghosts.
Mm.
But he goes, guess what I find out? He goes, they didn't sell 150,000 units to the armed forces. They sold 400,000 to the armed forces.
Wow.
And for years, I bump into soldiers when they go, hey, I bought your tape over in Iraq.
Hmm.
You,
Jeff Garcia, it was like six guys. I don't even remember who was on the fucking thing. I made fun of an Asian girl. I told her to suck my dick. Horrific. Horrific.
Kane Lopez?
No.
I think I saw it at the drugstore about 8 years ago.
Oh, please. It was at Walmart one time in Clark, Kentucky. I saw it in fucking Walmart in 2000 something. I had a heart attack. They're still getting fucking top price for it, $7.99. And they had this corporation that turned into another corporation that turned into another corporation. I got so fucking mad. I'll tell you how mad I got and what the cocaine did to me there in court.
Uh-oh.
I threatened to sue the guy from the ice house.
Mm.
Because he cut the deal there.
Oh.
He's got to have our fucking back. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I say, I'm going to have a pound of wheat. It's the same fucking reason. So I got really pissed, but then I got over it. Life moved on and I grew the fuck up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to grow the fuck up, people. That's it. And get your life together. Let me read some shout outs here. We got, I know you got a spot somewhere. Where are we at?
I'm going to head over to Flappers and work on that next CD.
Look at you. I'm going to give a shout out to my main man, Hugh Fitzgerald, Bob Lalingus in Chicago. My girl, Ookie Spooky, a.k.a. T. Winkler, Keith, Arizona, Greg and Lynn up there in Seattle, Jared Moss, Mike Davis, Grim motherfucking dog, you know what I'm saying? And my main man, Christopher, showed me his pug today, whatever, David Christensen, nice fucking dude. I love that motherfucker with all my heart. It's Wednesday night already. Jesus fucking Christ.
It's June 2016. Can you believe that?
June 2016, but it's June 15th. It was just June fucking 4th, 3 days ago. Or at least that's what it feels like. It feels like time is moving quick, Jack.
This guy told me an analogy about that because I had a birthday. And he goes, life is like a toilet paper roll. At first, there's a lot of toilet paper. But then as you get older and it spins around faster and faster, and then there's like less, and then you're out of toilet paper.
Was it like the janitor?
I'll tell you what.
No, it was just a guy that I
knew. I think after this, I'm not doing no more edibles until the surgery.
Why not?
I think I'm going cold turkey.
Just smoking?
Yeah. I'm starting to get anxiety about the surgery without the edibles. I can't imagine me going home or to a hotel one night, sitting there and thinking about fucking
knee surgery,
nose surgery,
or nose.
Do you have a way to stop that? Because sometimes I get anxiety too.
Yeah, I got a way to stop that.
How?
Stop eating edibles, and the fucking whole patois goes away. Because I'm telling you, when I eat edibles late, it's not good. When I go home, I get like a late heartbeat in the middle of the night.
A late heartbeat.
What do you call those things for relations and shit?
Heart murmur or something?
Yeah, like something. It plays the drums in there. I got to get up and walk around and wake my wife up and watch me for 2 minutes. I got to drink some water and turn on the TV and breathe, and then everything's all right. But it's that fucking edible. I know it is. It's not just my heart or something playing tricks on me. I got a tank in there.
You guys are looking good, though, man. This exercise is really, it's working. It's like you said, you go up and down. Stuff. I joined a boxing gym last September, and there's something about going to a place and sweating hard. You feel incredible, man. Like stuff I never used to do before. I used to just take like mild walks and pull-ups here and there. But when you're jumping rope and you're like hitting the bag, it's like the best. You know, that will get rid of anxiety.
My underwear was sweaty today.
Yeah,
I've never had that before.
It's kind of cool, huh? Do you like the shirt? Do you ever you look at your whole
shirt?
Your whole shirt is just soaked.
Yeah, the shirt's always drenched, but the underwear today was. I was like, whoa!
I'm doing something. That's what happens.
I heard years ago sweating was good for you. I heard 30,000 fucking years ago when I was a kid that's as you get older, it's the most important thing to sweat. There's days where you take a day off, the next day you fucking it's like the next day you work out and. If you don't sweat, you could smell what you ate 2 days ago. Like, man, I can smell carrot soup.
It's weird with you. If I ever don't work out the day after an edible, I'll be high pretty much the next day. If I have to, you have to go force yourself to work out. Otherwise, it stays in your system.
Oh, yeah. Now you know how to get it out. Now you know that 1 hour on the elliptical and some kettlebells and everything is out from the night before. The salt and that lizard you eat. The fucking the cotton shit you wanted to talk about that you were talking about last night, which is just disgusting. God.
I wanted to get him marshmallow fluff.
This is what this guy's fucking eating. Oh, I don't want no marshmallow.
I don't eat it because it's
no,
it's
you rub it on your toes and sniff it. You fuck.
I don't go to my house. I don't have it in my house. I'm just saying. I'm just saying Mercy should have a fluffer nutter.
What about cotton candy? You like that or
no? That's always gross. Been your fingers get dirty and shit. All that effort to walk around with sticky fingers, and even if you rub them with cotton, now they attract stuff. Flies are flying into your finger like Spider-Man. You get home, you have glass and rocks, and it's fucking disgusting. I hate all that shit. I never fell for that stuff. When I went to a carnival in the East Coast, you buy those fucking Zeppelis with the sugar on them. That's my favorite. You get a nice fucking, you know, whatever.
Have you tried the donut cheeseburger?
Not in a million years, dog. I don't know what. Have you tried it?
No, I can't bring myself to do it.
Me and Paul are thinking about it.
We went to the fair.
We went to the fair, and we went to Yelp, and we saw
it. Good fair.
And they got good reviews, and I don't know. We thought about it, and then we walked away, and we, the whole way on the five, we thought to ourselves, we should have stopped, and get the fuck out of here. I knew you were thinking about it.
I love that impression of you.
Oh, please. Every fucking Monday I get these.
The real reason I couldn't do it is the only size they had was the triple one.
Sure, that's you. Man. That's you.
No way. I just wanted one. Who one the fuck burger. You,
one. Just one bite and see what it tastes like.
Yeah.
You and Paula could have just put it in between you and met in the middle.
I like that spaghetti from that movie. Yeah.
You guys don't know. I could actually see them doing it and bumping into each other and one bite and the other tongue and
fuck yeah.
Lee crying and shit. I'm not crying. I don't know what I did. I love you. And she's like, I got nothing left to any. What am I going to do? Fucking Lee. Tougher than nails, ladies and gentlemen. Kettlebelling it. 800-900 milligrams a night. I got him in basic fucking training. You understand me? Most people doing 10 milligrams, dialing 911, stabbing their wife, jumping off a building. Not least I had. I got him in the office fucking banging it out like a fucking soldier. The fuck, Lee? So, Darren Carter, you finally took the chance. This is what number CD?
My fourth album.
In how many years?
That's the thing. The first 10 years, you're like, you don't even think you had to have a record deal. So my first one came out in 2000. And even back then, you're like, I remember we did some one-nighter gig back in the early 2000s. You go, I'm proud of you. You deserve a CD. A lot of these guys, because at that time I did The Tonight Show. And you go, they've been doing comedy for 6 months. And they're like, I'm going to try to record it. You know, so I did the first.
I was petrified, Darren Carter.
You were petrified?
I was respected guys like, listen.
Yeah.
For some reason, I get into comedy, and your first big goal, besides getting a TV show or winning the Johnny Walker Red
National Competition. Yeah.
Or
there was a search competition, and also with Doritos.
Lee, yeah. I'm dropping knowledge on these motherfuckers. Yeah. They don't remember.
I appreciate it.
When you were living in Michigan,
right.
And you sat there at night jerking, oh, I'm like, what do I want? I want that blonde in Hollywood, but what's going to elevate me there?
Yeah.
What's going to elevate you there is you had options. I'm talking about this. These were your goals in the 80s to be on a TV show or 90s. I'm saying
90s, yeah.
Be on a TV show and pop or a movie and pop. You know, it's tough to get cast when you live in fucking Utah for a big movie. I'm just using a state beside California. No offense to anybody. Or you have a sitcom of yourself or a big time album. Like a big time out. Like people, you went to people's houses and every 10 houses you went to drink beer, four people had that album and everybody said, put it on, yeah. You know, and then about 6 months later, you get home stoned and you'd be going to your TV and all of a sudden it would be comedy from Las Vegas and you'd see that guy.
Yeah.
And you go, oh shit, I'm staying up. But when you saw him, there was another guy that was even funnier than him.
Yeah.
And now you became his fan too. You know, but that was the highlight, that album, Lee.
Yeah.
When I bought an album, I walked home with an album, and it was a fucking album. So I start comedy. Never in my mind would I consider doing an album. Never. I get to the comedy store, never considered. It wasn't even in my fucking, I would see guys that got albums, and I would go, that motherfucker's doing a good job. And then something happened. The word got out that you could sell merch on the road. Okay? And that's fine. Every man for himself. I don't put nothing down. And next thing you know, everybody's selling merch. At that time, the first merch was really CDs. This is around 98. People started selling CDs. I got it. But I'm at that point, Schimmel was selling CDs.
Yeah.
Bobcat Goldthwait, Margaret Cho, not Nick DiPaolo, but guys like there was a handful of guys, Carlos Mencia, and then it kicked up a level again. And now something happened. The B-Room comics started doing CDs. And guess what happened? They made a shitload of cash from 98 to 2000. Then people caught on. And all of a sudden, you started going to shows. And kids that have been doing comedy for 3 years are going, hey, Darren Carter, how you doing?
Yeah,
here's my CD. And you're like,
"Yeah,
how long have you been doing comedy?" And like, 3 years. And you couldn't judge the CD of the material.
Yeah.
But at first, I was taken aback, like, 3 years. You got to pay your dues, Jack, before you can put a CD out. So that was my train of thought, that something had a, you had to put some more time in. Then they got a point by 2002. Lee, everybody had merch. Everybody had merch. The MC had a fucking bumper sticker. The fucking feature act had a fucking trombone. And the fucking, the other guys had a CD and a t-shirt. Then Carlos Mencia took it a level up.
Yeah.
He started taping the shows, charging you and sending you the show for the personal show,
like,
which
that
was
show
brilliant.
That night,
like that show that night, which I thought was fucking brilliant at the time. That's 99, 2000, 2001, 2002. I didn't consider doing my first CD till after Spider-Man 2 that I really needed the money to snort coke. If you look at the album cover, I'm pale as a ghost.
Like, wow.
Pale as a ghost. I was a month away from dying, Lee. Like, well, I took those pictures from that CD. It's a shame. It's a fucking shame.
Can we, So 2000 was the first one, and then I didn't even think about it for a long time. I was like, and then, you know,
what they give you, $750, and told you they send you money later.
No. For that one, I did. I had some help, but they really did it. They helped me out a lot. It was the first album, Shady Side. It was in Monterey. You know those two brothers. I don't know if you ever worked for those two guys.
Are they still around?
I think so, but I don't know. I haven't gone back. I've gone back a few times, but you know, and the reason I did it there is they kept telling me, you should get a record. We'll help you. We'll help you. We have the recording equipment. We used to be in a band. We used to tour Canada. We'll help you. And they actually helped me. It you know. But then I was like, I don't really want to do this thing. And then, you know, 10 years went by. But then, you know, Pandora got popular. Spotify, all these things in our apps, our smartphones. And then in 2010, I'm like, I got to put another album out because I'm tired of my old stuff being on Sirius XM. And then it was a thing where it's like, this is cool, man, because on the way to like doing a special and all this other stuff, I'm like, let me work on material, get it out there. And you know, so then I came up with another album, that last one, that Stay at Home Stripper album. And then only a year and a half went by and then I was able to put this one out. And this one comes out June 20th. It's great. The party continues. And it's like, it's able to like, you know, I read this great quote. It said, without a finish line, a goal is just a dream. And so to be able to say, you know, and I hear you do that too. You're like, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to do this thing by, you know, this date, October, or, you know, it gives you something to work towards.
It gives you something.
So we're not just out every night, like, you know, or on the road or whatever. Just like, here's my same old jokes. And you just, you know.
How many years I threw away in LA for not planning? Years that if I would have had the mentality that I had later,
I know
I would have been a killer in those days. I would have been less passive. I would have known how to treat management and agencies better. Things would have been different. I would have tried to push. I would have worked a little cleaner just to get to the festivals. Do you know what I'm saying? There's mistakes you make and you learn from. But what are we talking about? I'm stoned on the fucking
stone. No, just the goals and how to.
Otherwise,
you're just out there dicking
once
around.
Once you figure
night.
Out like a plan, like I have a plan every week, whether I'm on the road or home.
People, real quick, I'm sorry to say this, but people are lucky to have Joey Diaz in their life. You know what I mean? Like, you're a mentor.
I'm lucky to have Joey Diaz in my life.
Because right now, you're the mentor that people needed. We all need. And it's funny, I'm a grown up and I still, I love hearing when you say, Mondays, get up early, da 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 da, Tuesday.
I can't figure out.
I wish I had someone telling me this.
When I fucking talk to somebody, okay, listen, let's get it out of the way again for the 80th time. Boom, get out of high school, join the service, figure out some type of fucking college way, go to college for 4 years, come out, go back in the service, retire in the service and come out, go to law school while I'm in the service and come out and be a fucking attorney. That was the original fucking dream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's you have a fucking whatever. There was no goal. When you were a kid, you say you're going to be a fireman. Yeah. There's no fucking goal. All of a sudden, here you are. You're out, and I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. That's how.
But now you have to be self-motivated. You got to do
you
stuff.
Have to, because people who come from great backgrounds and go to college are missing little things. Mm-hmm. And they don't know that this is, everybody goes to college. I figured it out, man. I figured it out while I was at the University of Colorado with the felonies going, wow. So what am I in a rush for to get any type of fucking degree? That means I'm going to have to do something with it. That's a scary thought. And Lee, at that time, I was a fucking grown man, dog. I can't imagine what it was like for you to graduate and go, wait a second. Things change. Mom's not going to help me. I mean, I got her for a year or two, but this is real.
And what if you don't like it? What if you're like,
oh, I always, you know, that's what happened. I saw that happens to 1,000 people. You get out of there and the investment, you're like, Jesus Christ, now I'm in a hole for something. I finally go get the job and it's not the fucking job I thought.
And that's what it is. It's not that I hated it. It's just that it's, when you're going to those schools, they pump you up and all you're thinking about is your dreams. Mm-hmm. And you get there and you realize, oh, wait.
Let me tell you a confession, Lisa. Dark deconfession.
Yes, sir.
I couldn't imagine going to Emerson for 4 years or NYU or any other entertainment fucking school, Syracuse or whatever. I can't even imagine. And for somebody to ask me to get them coffee. At least I had, my ego would break, considering of what I thought I had just done, for some fucking mook to say, listen, Diaz, get me and my partner coffee, sweet, and don't fuck it up.
Especially when you're making, let's say, $2,000 a month, and $200 of that
goes to dry cleaning. Another $100 goes to parking.
I was going to say $200 just goes to the student loans. And
I'm sorry.
That's even low. A lot of people.
But just to go, I always thought that going to college meant when you walked out, something big happened, and that's why I always envied that lifestyle. I always thought that, wow, that guy's got something going on because he went to college, and here I was getting the same education in a fucking different way, with a different type of target, you know. And as comics, you know, you come out here and you're very passive. You don't know what the fuck to do till one day you go, why am I paying this schmuck 10% and this schmuck 10%?
Yeah.
I got better ideas anyway. These are all my fucking ideas. When you come out here, you go, I want a manager. You think this guy's going to meet with you for coffee once a week and go, okay, so how's the act going? How's the fucking touring going? Let's go over your schedule here. You don't like Tuscaloosa? Let's get you a fucking personal jet and fly you in like the way they did La Bamba.
Yeah.
And then let's do this. And let's no, guys, they don't do that at all.
And if they do it, you don't
know.
No,
I want people at home to know, young comedians who listen, that I hope you don't think that when you come out of it, they meet with you and they say, all right, listen, we want you to wear a purple shirt from now on. You know, we want you to go on a diet.
I did a stupid, my first big time management, back in 97, they were at the Century City, those twin towers, those top floor. I mean, it's fantastic. And the same building that Ron Howard, he was right next door. And I was like looking out the window like, damn, this is big time. And I was just like so excited. And they got me some college gig back then, $1,200. And do you know, like when it got done, they booked the travel, so the flight, and they got me a limo to take me from the airport to this college gig. Like the travel was $900, and then I had to pay my commissions. And I'm like, what is this Music Unlimited? Like, oh, that's the car service. That, you know, even the limo guy was like, he's like, ew, it's hard to navigate these corners to do this college campus. And I'm like, this my management set this up, man. You know, and at that time I was still teaching traffic school on the side. And I was like,
is traffic school still around? Do comedians still teach it?
I don't know, but I know they. I haven't taught it since '97, but I did get a ticket, and I just did it online. You know, about 8 years ago. I'm like, that was kind of cool to go online and just like, you know. Actually, I went as a student one time just to see how someone else would teach it, and I'm like, man, that's pretty brutal. Just sit there for like 8 hours and listen to somebody talk about stoplights and changing lanes.
And try to be cute.
Yeah.
And then you start picking up a certain act because, you know, it works over and over again.
Yeah.
Until one guy comes in and says, hey, I got a DUI 8 years ago and you still had the same act. And you're like, I fucked up at the store. I fucked up at the DUI room. Yeah. What the fuck is my career going?
Yeah.
One thing, man, I admire you for balancing your career, man. I admire you because I got to tell you, you're out a lot more than I am at night. And I fucking admire that, but I am wiped by 11 o'clock. Like, I really got to work hard.
You also get up really early. Like, yeah. I mean, I get up early too, but I go back to bed. I think you stay up.
I got to, you know, once I have the nose surgery and I come out, I got to tune it up. Yeah. I've been writing, but I tell you, nothing's been working. I've been having brutal responses.
I saw you working.
And I know that, fuck, I'm going to have to bring Lee with me to tape me. I know that.
You know what I do is I bring this phone out and I tape, especially my short sets, like the ones that are like 10 minutes or 12 minutes. Those I can listen to. And I'm like, okay, tonight I'm going to work on the boxing bit. I'm going to work on the bit about my wife, this thing about my son, you know. And then that's part of the work. And then the other part is sitting down, going to a coffee shop, listening to it, which is we don't like to do.
Oh my!
And taking those notes and being like, okay, I did this, that. I can tighten that up. I can, you know. And I got to be honest, this is the best time to do it in our careers because it's easier now. When you're young, it's, you know, what's funny? Now this stuff just comes because, you already have your comedy receptors up and you're like, boom, 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 I can say this joke.
My comedy receptors are getting fucking old. Because they're not attracting fucking funniness.
No, they are.
Oh my God.
You watch, wait till your daughter gets a little older.
I've done a podcast. Yeah. I've gotten anxiety attacks 2 times. I had to breathe out of my nose. Thinking about how close this special is and how I'm 42 minutes away from the fucking goal. I got to have 1 hour and 5 to shoot a 60. Yeah, they could cut it down to 48, which they assume they will to keep it tighter and bang it out. But at this point, I got 22 minutes or something of material that.
I'm telling you, man. Just,
so I got to really. I got anxiety about that.
But comedy material comes so easy to you, Joey. I know it does. And people, you have things that you do that people like. Like, it really looked like you had 6 bullet points when I saw you. Like, you're like voting, and it was like funny. And you're like, I can't vote, you know, and seeing you guys vote. and I was picturing like those moms at the farmer's market with the tattoos on their arms that you like to talk about and some guy whatever, like he had his man bun. I voted today, you know. I wanted to punch him in his fucking face.
Oh my God. That was terrible.
It was hilarious.
Those dudes I saw at Starbucks that morning, just like I looked at them and I was like, wow, we're in deep trouble. And they walked into the voter like that. No, man, but I admire you. You're still in the fucking game. You got some movies while you were here. You know, you don't have... One thing about guys like us is we lost the smell of desperation, which is a gift just in itself.
Mm-hmm.
After a certain time here, you don't want to be at a certain... Listen, if you go down to the Improv on Wednesdays, you know, Marco Giovanni's there. Yeah. Who's Marco Giovanni, the great director? Next thing you find yourself down there with your CD... Like a fucking mutt, you're down there, huh? And also one night you go up to me, you go, Marco Giovanni, I'm a big fan of yours. He's my CD. He looks at me, he goes, thank you. And he puts it on the table and he walks away from you. You want to go home and put a gun in your mouth. You know how many comics I know that did that?
Mm-hmm.
A lot, Lee. That found out like a director was going to be at the Improv on a Tuesday night or at the Comedy Store during the Black Show.
Okay.
And they'd linger in the hallways and then they give him like a copy of his short film and shit. I used to see it all the time.
And then it gets thrown away right around the corner.
As soon as somebody grabs him and takes him to the bar.
Yeah.
As soon as they got to go pick up the drink, they go, what? Are you fucking kidding me? Come here for a second.
Yeah.
You want this? They always try to give it away to a waitress. Here, you want this? And all of a sudden the waitress like, yeah. It's a friend of mine. Get the fuck out of here. I'm going to bring that home. It's, you know, we all did that. We all did something that silly. And now you go to the Comedy Store and you see the guys doing it. And it brings back memories of how you don't buy the bullshit no more. Nothing's going to really help you. You know what's going to help you? Coming here every night, 6 nights a week, putting out your CDs, you know, not selling your fucking soul. Well, I got a Disney classic movie, so I can't curse on stage anymore. You know, I can't really be a fucking whatever because they don't want me on the show if I act that way. That's not even happening anymore with comics.
I know.
They know who they're hiring now. A different fucking game, Lisa. Don't just sit there and stab me.
It's fucked up. I'm good.
What do you got planned this weekend? What's happening with you? You look a little down.
No, I'm good.
You haven't seen Paul all week. I can see you starting to break.
Donut hamburgers.
Look at you. Yeah.
We're going to get donut hamburgers.
Go ahead. What are you going to do? No.
Oh, that's what it was. The Lady and the Tramp, where they had the spaghetti and they
sucked it up
in the middle.
Tomorrow? I don't know right now.
All right. What are you doing? Which means nothing. And what do you got Friday?
Friday, I have kettlebells and regular work.
Right, regular work. That means nothing.
Yeah.
When do you see Paula?
Maybe Saturday.
Maybe Saturday. He's going to come out of the house for an hour, make you eat something you don't want to eat, and then drop her off with a hand job. That's it. You're going to bring her over and tell her who the boss is, give her some stars of death, Cosby, Rita, the fucking whatever.
Well, she gets drug tested, so she can't do anything.
That's it? It's over?
Well, yeah. She can't do that. Lawyers are probably the only people who drug test.
Listen, I know lawyers that smoke more pot than you and I.
Well, yeah, I'm sure once they get the job.
After they get the job, yeah, I see how it works. That's it. You're going to be eating stars by yourself. You're just feeding yourself from
solo.
That. And you're going to sit there in front of her all stoned to the gills with your new head, dude. You're looking sharp, Lee. God bless you. I'm so happy you stuck with it. I'm happy you like Dave. That's big. And today I was thinking about why I go to jiu-jitsu. Like how enthused I am about going. Like today I was having, I wasn't having no bad day today. It was just cloudy. You wake up in LA the last couple of days, it's been cloudy.
Yeah.
So it throws you off. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a car going to do something that you're not good at, but you're going to go sweat and you're going to go giggle a little bit. And they're going to take your mind off. So when you come back to that, your mind's a lot stronger to deal with that joke or whatever.
Dude, I love it. It's like the best.
When I come back, the first thing I do is log into jiu-jitsu.com or whatever that's called, bjjjournal.com, my friend's webpage. And then after I log on there, I go on my notebook. And every time when I'm driving home from jiu-jitsu to the house, I got something to say in my head.
Mm.
And I got about 18 of those things, which if two of them work for the CD, for the special, I'll be very happy. Just little fucking observations you made, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. So when does the CD get released, Darren Carter?
It's called The Party Continues. It comes out June 20th. It's I took advice and did a pre-sale. So people can, if they get it, like they can buy it right now and then they instantly get like a free track right away.
You guys know I wouldn't have him on here if he wasn't family, number one. Number two, you got to respect him that he's, that's it. We're all sick and tired of, for years, you hear stories and whatsoever, and I don't want to throw nobody on the bus. I'm not here to throw nobody on the bus. You hear all these stories, and now, as artists, comedians, whatever the fuck you want to call yourself, we have the option to put your music up on websites and your comedy up on websites. That's fucking big, guys. That's something we didn't have fucking 15 years ago. Mm-mm. 10 years ago, we didn't have this option. You know, and even then, the people who would do the albums with you, would put them on iTunes and would tell you you make nothing.
Right.
They take your fucking little 40% that you get. So you were like, why am I on iTunes? Now you have the right to control that. They have the numbers. They have graphs. They tell you everything. So you, listen, guys, if you're thinking of fucking doing something, do it already. All right? You want to whack off on a TV show? Do it. Do it and put it on iTunes. Take a chance. Columbus did. You know, but no, seriously. There it is. That's it. That's all I got to fucking tell you on a Wednesday night. At least I ain't saying dick tonight.
I'm sorry.
I got to talk here by myself. I'm long-winded because you're sitting there looking at me like I owe you $22. You know.
No, I was.
No.
You know you can imitate that voice.
You see what I'm saying, though?
I love it, man. You know what? I love your show. And it's like, you know, I talked a little bit last time about being adopted and growing up in the foster home. And it's like, you know, just having, you know, being a self-starter and not really having that, you know, And hearing a guy like you and your story, you know, and it's nice that we're still here. We know we weren't like these trust fund kids that like, hey, you know, I would, you know. You know
I wanted to be a trust fund kid, Darren. And the cold fucking reality of it was that now you look back at it. There's nobody who wakes up and goes, Jesus Christ,
I
wish I was a trust. Everybody at one time or another goes, Jesus Christ. They're digging a trench or they're going into their last semester and now they up the fucking money on insurance or whatever the fuck it is, tuition. And next thing you see these fucking kids that pull up in a fucking limo and they act like jerk-offs and they're doing drugs and they're fucking hookers and they're acting like animals. And for one second, you wish that was you. So you would act like a decent individual, make your family proud, and use their money for fucking good shit. You know what I'm saying? We never get that. I wanted to be a trust fund kid for years. For years, I was like, I can't believe I don't wake up with an envelope and somebody cut my toenails and shit like that.
But I don't think, going back to like the high schools with the BMWs, those kids don't work as hard. Some of them do, but some of them get, because of their connections, higher up jobs than maybe they would if they didn't know anybody. But what you were talking about earlier about like me doing more work is like it's, you know that there's work to be done, but it's no one wants to do it. No, like it's like you do things instead of you focus on projects you maybe shouldn't. And someone tweeted me the other day and said, isn't it motivating to work with Joey Diaz? And it is, but it's, I learn from you in a way, like it's like, I don't want you to be right, but you are a lot of the time. And I see how you cut away. And sometimes I feel like I'm too young to be cutting away certain things. Like maybe I should do things to get the experience or something. But the more I focus on one thing, it turns out better, I think. I'm super high, so that made no sense.
No. I get part of your conversation.
Okay.
And part of your conversation is this, okay? I don't even know how to describe what the fuck he's saying. But in part, it's like what we discussed in the car the other night. People get a real estate license and after 2 years aren't making any money. So they become waiters for 55 hours a week. And for years, they tell people they're real estate agents, but meanwhile, they're waiters. If they take the 55 hours as being a waiter, and cut 55 hours to 25 hours, and for 30 hours a week, you really focus on what it is to be a realtor, from having your car clean, to giving out business cards, to mailing out hello cards, to, you know, calling people on the phone and preparing to meet them, to do an insurance appraisal, whatever the fuck it takes it is to sign them as a client. If you really do that, most people would get a real estate license, work very hard, and they get a cold reality. They buy a course, they get sucked into the course and the whole thing. How the fuck do I know? Because I saw 6 out of 10 of my friends became real estate fucking agents, and not one of them became Trump. That's how I fucking know, okay? And they was all, one guy was kind of kinky, and he made a little money, and he got out. He was very smart. He learned how to do loans to get loans with a bank account. And he fucking learned how to finagle. He made a couple hundred thousand and he got out after 2 years and nobody ever got the paperwork. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I never knew nobody who out of all those courses became anything, because people take that course and they think they're going to sit in an office and people are going to knock on your door and go, hey, we want to buy an $800,000 house. Right. It don't work that way, especially in today's society. You become a realtor, Jack, first off, you're going into something that 1 million fucking people are into. You know, you gotta, it's like becoming a fucking personal trainer. Okay? Mm-hmm. You're going in to fight against barracudas. You know what? You have a degree in kinesiology. You have an associate's in fucking chemical fucking warfare and dietitian. And you work for Bally's for 10 fucking years and you want $200 an hour. Good luck, unless you bump into a sucker like me or some fat fucking, or some actor. Right or wrong, it's 200. Yeah. Well, how long are you gonna hold on to that price? You think if Lee Syatt comes to you and goes, I want to train, but I only pay $75 an hour, this guy's gonna go, nah, I get 200, pass on. You know, how long? But every of those guys picks up one guy that keeps them going for like 2 years of the shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, $750 a month, whatever the fuck they charge, Lee, it's amazing. But the guys that fucking train, fuck, like I've known in this city so far, 15 fucking personal trainers. None of them really trained me. I just had conversations with them and I watched them over time.
Yeah.
Out of those 15, 13 of them have moved. And this is just the last 3 years. But I've kept my eye on their methods and shit.
Yeah.
One of them merged with a gym and these, you know, it's just really weird how it works out, because that's it's a tough fucking racket out there to be a personal trainer. It's a tough racket. Nobody knocks on your fucking door and says, I'm a fat fuck. Take me, I'm yours.
It's a tough
racket. Take me, I'm yours.
There's a lot of unemployed people out there. And applying online, we've talked about it before, hundreds of people are applying to those jobs, thousands of people. The chance that they're going to see your resume even is like...
Yeah, but what job are you talking about?
Any job.
If you walk into a realtor's agent and you go, I want to be a realtor, they'll say, do me a favor. Go over there, smell the corner, and tell me, what do you smell? You come back, you tell them what you smell, you're hired. Wait a second. If I run a real estate agent, you know how many agents I got? I don't give a fuck if you fucking work for me. I'll hire you if you come in here. You got a license, Lee? Yeah. Where do you live?
Right around the corner.
1313 Mockingbird Lane. Okay. You got a car? You got a Ford door? Yeah, my father just bought me a new BMW. I'm ready to go to work. All right. They'll say, okay, you got a desk over there. Look at the lineup over there. You share it with 8 gorillas. Sign up for an hour a week. Come in here, cold call. Put our signs out. Get out there. What the fuck do you think you do? You come in there and sit there and the phone rings. We got a house for sale. No, you got to get on the fucking phone and cold call people. Again, you got to go market yourself. You know what that takes? That takes money and patience. Because even if this guy comes in and goes, I want to sell your house, what do you think that happens in 2 fucking days? So you got to put a year and 9 months in of bothering people. And all of a sudden, 4 houses signed. You got 4 fucking listings, Lee. Now you got 4 listings to play with. And all of a sudden, bam, you sell your first house. And all of a sudden, bam, you sell your second house. And all of a sudden, guess what? You got 2 more fucking listings. But the one guy's waiting for his grandmother to die because they got her on the fucking head controls. She got hit by a bicycle and she's waiting to die. She got 32 fucking million in the house. And this goes on for years, Lee. You know why? Because you're always rotating. You're always shaking hands. You're going, you're sticking to what got you to the dance. You know what? It took me 9 months. Now, after 9 more months, guess what, Lee? You got 12 listings. And you got 3 that have got fucking offers on. And all of a sudden, Lee, you got fucking 3 that sold more. And you got 9 more people who referred you, Lee. You're working with 20 fucking listings. And the office is looking at you going, this guy's a fucking animal. This guy's a fucking animal. But there's people who don't understand that because that takes 9 months of real work. And you know what real work is? Putting 30 hours in as a realtor like that, yeah. Doing that shit, and going and waiting tables on Friday and Saturday, but doing it all day, working a double. That's fucking work, Jack.
Yeah. And dealing with that rejection and just going forward, you know, I was reading the book that Rogan always talks about, the War of Art by Stephen Pressfield.
Absolutely.
I love that book. That's I always pick it up and I always find something every time I read it. And he was talking about this one time. He goes, I was in my 40s. It was humiliating. I met this producer and the whole time he was on his phone and like he had like the little Bluetooth in or whatever, like a, and he goes, and we'd be talking and then he'd be like, oh, hold on. And he'd just take the phone call and he goes, God, I'm just sitting there. And he goes, it wasn't like I was. You know, I was new, it wasn't like I was new to Tinseltown. I'd been around for a while. And at one point, the producer says, hold on, this is personal. I need to take it. Do you mind stepping outside? And he goes, so I grab my stuff and I go outside. I'm in the waiting room and I'm waiting. And 15 minutes goes by, 20, an hour goes by. And he's like, then the guy comes out and he goes, I'm so embarrassed. I'm sorry. I forgot that you were out here. Let's reschedule this. And he goes, and I went down the elevator and I felt like crap. But he goes, you know what? I was happy I had that opportunity. And he goes, and that's what you got to, he goes, and here's the thing. It's like the matador who's something like, he goes, he gets, you know, he's running from the bull. He doesn't win that day, but that's okay because at least he's in the arena. He's not in the stands watching. He's not in the parking lot hoping he could, you know, I wish I could be there. It's like, you know what? All right, I'll take my lumps. Big deal. There'll be another day. I'll meet with the producer and I'll get this movie out.
Can you believe you're still fucking swinging after 20 years in this town?
Yeah.
Still here. 20 years ago, we talked about this last podcast with the last guy who was on, and he was a jiu-jitsu guy, just having a commitment to something for 20 years. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Can you fucking believe it? Like anything else. Like an electrician who says, I worked for 32 years. That's always been a big accomplishment to me. Yeah. This guy got up fucking 6 days a week and almost got electrocuted. God. That's the same thing as being a comedian. We get electrocuted every night like I did. You know what I'm saying?
I'm only a few years into my career, but it seems like every 3 to 4 years, you start seeing like major gains. Like you see every few months, but it seems like it's like every 3 to 4 years. I don't know if you guys have a different experience.
Well, I think that people think that anything that they pick as a career is easy sometimes, especially something that involves a commission or something that where you are expected to, you know, generate money. Whatever you're a CEO, whatever, you know, whatever does, I think that, what are you laughing about, Lee? Hit him, Darren.
I think he's really high.
What do you think, Darren?
I think he's really high.
I think you're fucking high too, Darren. I think I've been breathing on you. Give me that stuff, Lee. Let's get him out of here. I know he's got a spot. He's got a couple of spots.
I love it, man.
Thank you for coming on. Listen, man. Thank you. I had you on. You were talking about that flappers. I overheard you talking to Lee, and I came back and checked the schedule, and I bump somebody. I go, you know what? I want to help Darren out. Darren's a great guy. He's done a lot of great work. I know you put effort into this. It's not like you're a whore or nothing like that. You know, our, like I said, our desperation smell is over with.
Yeah.
And it feels so nice to walk into a comedy club. And to, yeah. I still remember the 10 million situations where people call and go, hey, man, do you know that on fucking Tuesday nights, the guy who did Pulp Fiction hangs out at this place and they do comedy. Let's go down and sneak up at 9 o'clock so he would see us. Like, something's really going to happen. And people would get fucking creepy about it. You want to give me that stuff?
Sure. But you just don't know. You're just trying everything when you first get here.
How fucking embarrassing can you be? You know what I'm saying?
The last time I did the show, I got a lot of emails and tweets. And I want to say thank you guys for reaching out. I love when people reach out. It shows you, you know, like... I do morning radio a lot, like around the country.
Nothing.
Like,
nobody
and
reaches out.
I've done stuff in LA. And it's like, you get like maybe one message or two, maybe two. And sometimes it's because I'll tweet it. Hey, listen to me on blah, blah, blah. It's my own people. So it's like, you know, it's great, the power of podcasts and the connection that we have, you know, as listeners and as performers.
I'm blown away by this whole thing. Every day I learn something new. From an email or by bumping into people or.
You were saying earlier how you feel when people come up to you. How do you think my life hasn't really changed yet here, but it doesn't make sense. I don't really think about what's going on because it doesn't make sense to me.
Why would
it? I'm from Boston.
You weigh 900 milligrams of THC tonight. Why would you waste? I do that to you, so it doesn't make sense.
No, but it doesn't make sense.
That's why I do this with you. You think I do this with you because I like to see you fucking all over there, drooling and shit, thinking about Mexican food? No. I do this so you don't think about what you're doing. What you're doing is magic, and you don't even know it. You're just over there fucking like a dunce, looking around like young Frankenstein.
Well, because you're 900, but...
Because you're tougher than nails.
But it's crazy. Like, I'm just a dude from Boston. And it's crazy that people want to take pictures with me. I don't get it. So I
was excited when I met Lee, you know, like, cause I used to hear you with Steve Simone and Joey. And I was like, that's Lee. Hi, Lee. I think I might've been in Las Vegas or something, but it was like, it's cool. You know,
and I couldn't appreciate it more, but it's just, it's still weird. No, it's not, some of it has gotten creepy at some point.
Cause somebody fall into your bathroom.
No, they found my phone number. On like old resumes I had online, but I luckily took those down. But everyone in the podcast, they've been great.
Ever since Dr. Belize came out, I've been paying attention to that more and more. I still put the kettlebell on my stomach. I still do that stuff, and it didn't feel anything until today. It took a little longer than 14 fucking days. I ain't gonna lie to you, but I stuck with it. You know. And one of the things you have to do basically is sit on the floor and it's like a Kundalini type breathing. You know, it's like one of those things where you put your stomach in before you lay on your back, before you put the kettlebell and take the deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're basically doing is breathing. And then there's one thing she says to close your mouth and, you know, relax your jaw and look straight ahead. When you do that and breathe out of your nose, it's completely different, and you kind of go into a meditative state. And lately, I've been thinking about the special, about me on stage, what are you going to wear, what do I want from the special, just to get your mind in order. Before Jimmy Valvano, North Carolina, won that year, and the practices, the first three or four practices, made them cut the nets down so they would see what it felt like when they won the championship to cut the nets down. That's really fucking good thinking. You know what I'm saying?
Visualization.
So it all starts at that shit. I know it sounds stupid to the people at home. You think I'm smoking dope with 8 Indians and we're spitting out brilliant material. It don't happen that way. I don't know nobody who does that shit. But meditation is real important. And that's what Headspace has to offer you as a product, okay? Let's be honest. Most of your problems start in your mind. Fear, anger, stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness. They begin in your head, and they can wreck your life, okay? I know from personal experiences, man, some nights I go pee, and on the way back to lay down, I think about something, and it wakes me the fuck up in the middle of the night. I got to go sit on the couch and smoke 15 bong hits and watch TV to come down from just thinking about it, right? They can wreck your life, but it doesn't have to be that way. You can make major difference in just 10 minutes a day. This change comes through guided meditation with the new Headspace app. Headspace is meditation made simple. It's guided meditations that you listen to whenever you want, wherever you want, right on your phone, computer, or tablet. Meditation is rooted in thousands of years of traditions with scientific studies that show its positive effects, like improving focus, relationship harmony, and decreasing anxiety and stress. For me, I use it for the anxiety. I use it for the stress. It's just a few minutes a day, and it starts with this. You join over 5 million users already getting some Headspace for free right now. Do me a favor right now. You're a church guy. I love you. I know maybe you're having problems. Try it. Why not? Take a chance. Columbus did. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program. For 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/Joey. The Headspace Take 10 program is a 100% free way to experience the benefits of meditation in your busy modern life. What do you do when you think when you finish at the gym, you're trying to lose weight, you're at the gym, you got your heart rate up to fucking 2,000, you're thinking about cookies and fucking pepperoni pizza. How do you think you come down from that anxiety? You go in the corner, you stretch your hamstrings. You know, you stretch your back a little bit. You do a couple of those fucking yoga things. You know, you do those other things, the cat claw poses. And after it's all over, you sit down for fucking 2 minutes. You take your T-shirt off. You don't give a fuck about your stomach as if you're a man. You take your shirt off. You get a little freedom. You cross your legs. You relax your fucking hands. And you just breathe. And breathe what you want to do, what just happened. And what you expect. And all of a sudden, you just say a fucking little prayer. You clean that bad fucking air out, which I haven't done for years. See, that's what I was doing. The Dr. Blees didn't open my eyes till. You have to spit that fucking air out. You can breathe all you want, but if you don't spit that, hold that air and push your stomach out.
Yeah.
When I take those fucking tablets, she sent me those, you lick this thing and it gives you your THC, your pH, whatever balance, and your fucking, you got to get it between 6 and 7. There was days that I was at like fucking darkness because I got the sleep apnea machine on and I'm not breathing fully. That's why when I wake up, if I make a quick move, I almost have a fucking heart attack. I figured all this shit out, all with that fucking book. So I'm happy she came on. I'm happy she turned me on to meditation. That's my fucking point, all right? Like Lee said in the beginning of the podcast, we're getting sponsored by somebody who impressed the fuck out of me. It's Datsusara. You know why? They have the hemp products and that's all great. But one thing I didn't mention, the products are exceptional. That little jujitsu bag they sent me. They sent me a canteen, okay? I fill that up with water. I get the other thing. I fill that up with water. I put protein after drink. I fill that in that fucking bag. Then on the other side, I put my 2 towelettes and my nasal spray, okay? And then on the other pocket, I put my fucking phone and my wallet, okay? And then in the fucking bag, I put a pair of shorts, a T-shirt, and a towel, okay? And then I gotta bring disinfectant because my knee pads are rotten. They smell like 10 dead dicks. So I gotta wipe my fucking knees before I get scurvy or whatever fucking grows on the back of your fucking legs, right? Don't worry, I ordered new knee pads from Amazon. I know, the cocksucker page. Anyway, and then, what the fuck I'm saying is the bag is tremendous. It feels great. It's tough. It's got a strap. It's got 2 different handles. I got pockets for fucking the fungi soap. I got a new thing with the soap now. I got this new fungi soap. I just stick my toe in it and let it cement on my toes like in the old days how they throw you in the Hudson River. With cement boots, I just have a cement toe.
How long do you stick it in there for?
For like 89 minutes until I get bored and I got to go somewhere. What the fuck is it with the questions? I don't fuck.
He doesn't time it.
That's a Zara.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Well, my fucking point is, I got the fanny pack I flew with last week. I had my nasal spray in there. I had my pens. I had 2 pair of glasses. One of them broke, but that was my fault. They're fucking 3 for $10. What do you think? Are they going to last forever? I got my fucking, you know, whatever the fuck you need. It's around your waist. And a lot of people sitting there looking at me like, Joey, what are you, fucking gay? You're following your... But no. Let me tell you something. I'm an old fat man. I don't like shit in my wallets, okay? So you put all that fucking shit in the thing there, and you that's it. You fly like that. They got the what do you call those things? The fanny pack. They got the bag for jujitsu, okay? They sent me a beautiful fucking sweatshirt. I wear it outside jujitsu. It's hemp. It's strong. It's solid. It's fucking light. Any way you put it. Listen, do me a favor. Go to DS Gear right now. They got a rash guards. They got geese. They got a gi. Hemp, tremendous. Please, Go to dsgear.com right now. You like something? Tell them I sent you. Get 5% off. What do they put in the box?
Joey.
J-O-E-Y. Bam! In the box, you get 5% off. Go to look at this stuff. It's hemp. You motherfuckers love smoking weed, and you want to support the cause, and you love Woodstock. Well, here, start by going to dsgear.com right now. I'm giving you a 0.5% off today, all right? And don't forget it, the best on it.com. Saving me here. 53, my liver looks like a fucking skank. You know, I don't even know what my fucking liver looks like. My liver looks like one of those rivers in Newark. There's no even alligators. There's just dead fucking bones. Shroom tech, the sweat, and the whole fucking thing has saved my fucking life, okay? With the Alpha Brain, the Focus, the hemp protein powder, I'm losing a centimeter of fat every 2 weeks. You understand me? At least I'm going forward. Why? Because I'm paying attention. And Onnit sent me all those products. I tried them. Now they support me. And fuck it, we're partners now. And I love them, and I think you should fucking try them. So do me a favor. I can sit here and be an encyclopedia of bullshit. I ain't even going to bother you with that. Go to Onnit.com right now and press in.
Church.
Get 10% off. Before you fucking press 10% off, look at the line of products they got. I can't help you with the weights and the sticks. But the supplements, I'm your fucking Goomba, okay? I'm giving you 10% off right now, and it gets shipped to your house. Onnit.com. Headspace.com/Joey. And Dot Susara, the best. DSGear.com. Who's better than you, cocksuckers? Darren Carter, I wish you nothing but luck. Listen, again, do me a favor. I don't bring some fucking Johnny Come Lately on the fucking show. In fact, I want you to play Lay Down Sally on the way. A little Eric Clapton tonight. Yeah. We're going slow hands out of respect for DC, the Brain Supreme. And anyway,
Darren Carter.
This guy's, I've known him for a while. 22,000 people have come and gone. Me and DC are still here. He fights for his fucking life. He plays Chattanooga. Wherever they need him, DC's there. Black people, white people, albinos,
Latinos.
Corporates. This kid's a fucking real superstar. Any day now, somebody will put him as a partner in some talk show at midnight. He makes a half a mil, and everybody's happy for him because he put the time in. And that's the most important thing. But it all starts with your supports on the iTunes charts because people look at that shit. It's like the minor leagues.
They do. I love you, Joey. I love you, Lee. Thank you, guys.
I love you. Where are you at next, you, brother? Where's the CD premiere party?
We're gonna figure that out. I don't know right now.
Well, I want you to tweet it. I know I'm going to retweet it.
Thank you.
Let's do that. Thank you. At Helium next week, and it's sold out. And after that, I'm having no surgery. I'm going to Vegas with Joe July 8th. I'm having no surgery after that. And you won't see my Cuban ass till fucking Oklahoma, bitches. I love you, cocksuckers.
Yeah.
We'll be back this fucking... Listen, Monday morning, you're going to wake up. Doop, doop, de doop. You're going to have a new fucking podcast. That's how I roll, bitches.
Bam.
I love you, motherfuckers. Stay black, Uncle Joey. The church of what's happening now, bitches.
Oh, I love it. Is this the Kids Bop version?
I have no idea. What's with the questions, cocksucker? Is this the Kids Bop version?
Hey, worse than this fucking guy.
There is nothing that is wrong wanting you to stay here with me. I know you've got nowhere to go. Won't you make yourself at home and stay with me? And don't you ever leave. Sally, rest here in my arms. Don't you think you want someone to talk to? Lay down, Sally, no need to leave so soon. I've been trying all night long just to talk to you. Got the moon and stars above. Underneath the velvet skies, love is all that matters. Won't you stay with me? Don't you ever leave. Lay down, Sally. I'm resting in my arms. Don't you think you want someone to talk to? Lay down, Sally. No need to leave so soon. I've been trying all night long just to talk to you.
can lay your worries down and stay with me. Don't you ever leave. Lay down, Sally, and rest you in my arms. Don't you think you want someone to talk to? Lay down, Sally, there's no need to leave so soon. I've been trying long night long just to talk to you. Someone to talk to. Lay down, Sally. There's no need to leave so soon. I've been trying all night long just to talk to you.
This show was brought to you by Headspace. Download the free Headspace app and begin the Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/Joey. That's right. Just go to headspace.com/Joey right now and download the free Headspace app. You have nothing to lose. It's free. You get 10 days of guided meditation, headspace.com/Joey. Show is also brought to you by Datsusara. Go to dsgear.com and check out their extremely high-quality functional gear made with hemp textiles. They have bags, geese, rash guards, and much, much more. You heard Joey talk earlier about how much he loves his bag. Use code word Joey at dsgear.com and get 5% off of your entire order. And the show is also brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to save 10% on all their amazing optimization products like Alpha Brain New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport, all of the hemp proteins. It's Onnit.com. Use code word CHURCH.